Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. I played the wrong intro on a previous interview, so I figured I'd play the wrong intro there just to mix things up. Let's run with that. Welcome to the daily wrap-up. We have a lot to talk about today. It is going to be a jam-packed show. I mean, it's just a lot to talk about. This will be a long one, so make sure you stay tuned to the end. But we're going to start, as sometimes I fail to do, with the topics that I think are most important in the title. So early on in the show, we're going to get into those. But there is a whole lot going on here. And as you might have noticed, I've been doing a lot of interviews lately when there's a lot going on with this new platform. And so I haven't done as many daily wrap-ups over the last week or before that as I've liked to. But just know that in the very near future, once these projects get, you know, on the move, essentially, I will get back to my more specific schedule. But the interviews also do take away from that. We had a lot of great interviews, and I'll mention them throughout the show today where they're relevant in regard to the discussion. But primarily, as you saw in the title, the microchip discussion, which is just so ridiculously hilarious that it's something that we, and understand, there's been a lot of people that have been making claims about microchips that at the very least are unverified. The idea that they're inside vaccines, which they could be, but we can't verify that. I don't see evidence of that specifically. Possibilities, the technology's there. There's lots of examples of different things. But we have been arguing this discussion from the very beginning, Whitney and myself particularly, about the fact that this technology exists. And it's tied in with this COVID-19 agenda and the technocratic rise and the Great Reset, not specifically what they point to then say they debunked what we're saying. And that's what's ridiculous about how all this is going. And we're going to start early in the show today with a point of exactly how the mainstream media is doing that. But we'll begin early in the show today with the microchip discussion that DARPA, the Pentagon, just said, yeah, here's a microchip you can put in your skin and we'll be able to tell you before you get sick. Gee, isn't that exactly what we were saying and they called fake news? Yes, it is. And we'll go over a lot of those things today. We'll also talk about vaccines and how it's very obvious. Vindication is the name of the word of the day, as it's been for quite a while, and not just with vaccines, but everything we've talked about. All these things are beginning to slowly come out, and the mainstream media is pretending like they're just breaking news. New thing says exactly what all the independent media has been saying that we weren't listening to and we were laughing at, and now we're saying as breaking news. It's pathetic. But hopefully you're smart enough, and that's why you're not necessarily here just in my show, but listening to independent media, because you are smart enough, because you can see that there's lies and misrepresentations and deceitful actions everywhere across this whole narrative. So let's get into the main part to start. Before I do that,
Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. And I'm sure there's plenty that just hate even one intro that are just losing their minds right now. Oh my God, we wasted almost a minute and a half. Crazy. Let's get into the important information today. I had to play the intro, but to start off, of course, a couple of notes from the ether, as we've been doing in the beginning, that I think are very relevant and important, just in case you forgot what your government is all about. This is Ken Klippenstein pointing out something that the New Yorker just casually reported because it was being stated openly by your government as just a totally normal thing to do. As it says very clearly, these days, the only military action in Syria where they're illegally occupied is from the U.S. forces firing a 155-millimeter howitzer twice a week into the surrounding desert at no specific target, quote, just to say we're here. You know, just to let those struggling Syrians who can't feed themselves and are, you know, don't have oil to light or, you know, to heat their families, you know, make sure they know we're still here making their lives suffer, you know, making it harder for them to live, because that's what we're doing, right? I mean, this is obscene. Even if you think it's there to what, scare the bad guys? You think the bad guys don't know that they're there? Do you think that shooting a gun in the air and it's going to make them go, ooh, the U.S. is still here? Let's make sure we understand that the ISIS they pretend they're doing this for are the ones that they're arming and funding and protecting and shuttling around the world, as is painfully obvious, that has been shown 10 times over, unless you only watch the mainstream media, which is probably why you're not here. This is disgusting. And this is what your government and your military are doing in your name with your tax dollars. Just firing expensive munitions in the air to make sure the people of the occupied territory know that they're still there and you shouldn't come fight for your freedom. This is the world we're in. And this is the same government that is pushing these things on you right now. So make sure you don't forget that. Robert in Lakesh has had a lot of really great content recently in regard to Israel and foreign policy that we have. Specifically, I have not had the time to get to in regards to this larger topic. So please take the time to check that out, including the fact that Israeli spies have been captured in Iran, that we have Israel, their government and their own media openly stating that Israel unilaterally and unprovoked attacked an Iranian ship. We have the very clear information that shows that they just conducted a cyber attack on their nuclear facilities. These are all completely unilateral actions that are crimes. Nobody cares. These are the bad guys. That's the point. And of course, because of all this stuff that's happening today, you know, keep an eye out for anything, everything that's going to get your direction somewhere else than what's happening now, because this is what matters. Because right now, not only are we seeing very clearly what these people really are, a lot, even people that are inside the two-party paradigm are beginning to go, wait a minute, this is alarming. Because they're rushing this in a ham-fisted way because something. Why? I don't know. Why they rush this in a very clumsy way? Maybe just because they're bad at what they do. Or it's because there's something that needs to happen. In any case, they're waking people up. So be on tune, be aware for things that are going to be shoved in your face to say, look over there, look at this dangly cat toy. Don't look at what's happening right in front of you. Don't look at the fact that all of these vaccines and all of the information we've been talking about and the mass discussion and lockdown and all this stuff is quickly beginning to be revealed as exactly as we told you. So what are they going to do? Look at the shooting over there. Look at this. Aliens are real. Don't pay attention to that. Your government is completely disintegrating in front of you, or at least their credibility. As this says, just in, the Pentagon has confirmed the authenticity of incredible leaked images of videos and pyramid-shaped UFOs. Guys, this stuff has been out and publicly discussed by world leaders and government all around for decades. Okay, I'm not even saying one way or how I feel one way or the other, because I don't know why we would trust the government about anything like this, thinking of blue beam and different discussions. But either way, that they just casually go, oh, yeah, that thing's real. UFO's real. Whatever. Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Quick. Look over there. No, over there. Okay, never mind. It was nothing. Oh, look, everything is normal again. Go back to sleep. This is what's happening. Also, make sure we understand that your government and the individual people within that government are actively using the information that they have, their power and their foreknowledge about what will happen to make lots of money on your suffering. Now, of course, this discussion for those in the podcast is Robbie Yeager pointing out breaking new financial disclosures show Nancy Pelosi and her husband purchased up to $10 million worth of Microsoft in March. The couple also purchased up to $3 million more of global investment firm Alluance Bernstein and up to $1 million in Roblox. Now, the important part for me is Microsoft. Now, obviously, this is being connected with the big, and this is very relevant, the big military contract that just happened that Pelosi was involved in. So that's just simply a crime. I mean, I'm blanking on the exact terminology here. Insider trading popped into my head, and that's not what we're talking about here. But in any case, government individuals are not supposed to be to use their position and to be able to influence deals. I mean, conflict of interest is obvious, but there's another word I'm looking for. But that they are using their position to drive deals that then benefit them because they had money. Do you think that her investment in that drove her decision or influenced her decision to make this the group they worked with? Certainly a question we should ask. At the very least, that's a bad thing, and she should be called out for it. But think about this, guys. Maybe it's not just that deal. Maybe it's not just a military deal that happens quite often, and including Microsoft. Maybe it's the fact that they knew that Microsoft would go through the roof for a hell of a lot more reasons. And why would anybody bank on a company like Microsoft surging during a pandemic? Why would that make sense? Unless you knew what was coming, that the technological, technocratic surge is exactly what we were expecting. In any case, it's the same point we have like of Pelosi and the different people knowing before coronavirus happened and making a lot of stock movements that made them lots of money. But if you're still pretending like they didn't know anything, then you're happy to put your head in the sand. There's plenty in front of you to show you what's really going on. Oh, and the image he's showing here is the actual information. I mean, I'll let you guys go through this for yourself to see the actual transactions. I find the other one that he shared. Oh, this is actually. Oh, that's right. Okay. I thought I had two from him. Huh, that's interesting. Pretty sure he had two tweets. Maybe I accidentally deleted one, but oh well. Any case, his point was, oh, I put it after it. That's what it was. There it is. Okay. So sorry to get mixed up there. So first of all, this is the point. Robbie broke this story. He's telling you this on April 12th. Here is somebody following up on the information later in the day saying Pelosi is using deep ITM call options. And this shows you all of the information in regard to how this is working. Hold on. And then we finish reading this. It says she just exercised $10 million in Microsoft shares on March 19th, then launched a military deal, a very lucrative military deal. Which I think is relevant, obviously, because you made money in this regard, but I think it's bigger than that. She sits directly on relevant committees, which is a point that I think Robbie didn't note, which is obviously relevant. The fact that she has the ability to drive directions and actions that influence and benefit her investments. She also bought $1 million in Roblox. Not familiar with that exactly. Yeah. But in any case, Microsoft is the one I'm interested in. Here's the last point. I broke the Pelosi Microsoft story sitting on a toilet at work. That is to say, I take more productive bowel movements for the family-friendly show than a lot of journalists' entire work week. And he's not wrong. Now, I'm not very familiar with Robbie at all, really. But the point is the idea that this person or anybody online, his point is these are publicly available. The fact that he's able to scoop well-known journalists at prominent outlets on public disclosure stories, meaning it's there for anybody to see, makes him feel that there's only five people out there doing what he's doing. He said he slept in and broke the news. Now, I'm not even, the point is credit where credit is due, but I'm not familiar with his work. So the reality is just simply pointing out that people in the independent media are doing the actual work and finding these things and being disparaged by the mainstream in their little click elitist groups. They get patted on the head by the people in charge and they feel like they're doing the right thing. This is what mainstream media is today. And eventually this is going to flip hard. We already have a lot of independent media who desperately want to be mainstream media and they're going to just become the problem. Well, they already really are, to be honest. Now, there's a lot of that out there and you probably know exactly who I'm talking about. There's a lot of them. But this is what the real journalists out there should be doing. This is what the mainstream media should be doing if they were real journalists, but they're not, which we know that, though. It's not hard to see. Thank you, Robbie, for breaking the story. I think this is an important one. And I don't know this part of the story, but somebody down here says Crystal Ball from The Hill. You're going to rectify this, give people proper credit. Now, this doesn't surprise me at all. Now, I haven't verified what he's saying there, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if people in the mainstream media, and yes, Crystal Ball is in the mainstream media, would share this, talk about it, make it their story, and not even think twice about giving credit to people in the independent media. Now, bringing this over into the microchip discussion, which Microsoft seems a perfect segue into this. This is a real story that is really happening, that has been called fake. I mean, look, if you right now went on Twitter, and I love making this point because this is very real. Just like I stated this about vaccine passports, I bet you right now there's people that are still acting like that's fake on Twitter. But in any case, you could talk about microchips and COVID-19 and just put microchip COVID-19 and just tweet that. People would laugh at you. You're such a stupid conspiracy theorist. This is while the Pentagon scientists have revealed a microchip that senses COVID-19 in your body before you show symptoms and a filter that extracts the virus from blood. Good times. Because, you know, that point, the idea that they're going to just extract your... I mean, this is a weird scenario. And we're talking about DARPA and the Pentagon, the very people that are working on the nanotechnology discussion, the people that are working on the smart dust, things that they've had since 2004 that were eighth the size of a grain of salt. I've shown you that many times, which is the very reason why I find it very telling that what they show you is way bigger than that. So let's just be very clear that what they're showing may be exactly what they're actually talking about. But let's not pretend like this is if this is the smallest size they have to do the job they're talking about, then they're lying to you. I mean, there's plenty. Now, I shouldn't say it like that. Maybe this specific thing has to be a certain size to be able to accomplish what it's doing. But I find that hard to believe, seeing as how in 2004, they had smart dust that could run on your body's electricity or your body's vibration that could connect with outside Wi-Fi or RFID and be operated remotely. So to pretend like this kind of thing needs to be that large, which is exponentially larger, I just find it to be a little deceptive. The idea, I talked about this recently when mainstream media pointed to something and said, cutting edge technology is this big object that they said was nanotechnology. It's ridiculous. They've had far smaller and they've openly discussed it until weirdly they got real quiet about it leading up into what we're doing now. I wonder why. The chip is inserted below the skin and triggers a sensor if COVID infects the body. This is medical pre-crime. This is what we've been writing about. This is what we've been talking about. This is what they're doing with the wastewater under cities right now. They already just told people, hey, we noticed a small spike, but nothing dangerous, but we wanted to scare you. So we told everybody to be concerned about it, even though we finished by saying there's nothing to be concerned about. They want you to know we're monitoring your wastewater and we will let you know if there's something. And this is a test. So next time we say there's something, we're going to get you to do something, lock down, wear masks, social distance, and then we can later circle back and go, yay, it worked because nobody got sick. So the question is, was it ever really happening? Sure, call me a conspiracy theorist, but our governments have done this before, lied to us, cheated on us, stole from us. The chip is inserted below the skin. This is the point. This is what they call minimally invasive. Literally under the skin. Remember we talked about the perfusa bioimplantable sensor, the one that they were, this has been the point from the very beginning. And recognize the person that we're talking about in this clip is Matt Hepburn. That's who this is right there. That's the very person that Whitney said it was one of the most alarming examples of the people on Operation Warp Speed. Remember when we talked about this in the very beginning of Operation Warp Speed, when Whitney and I had these discussions and we talked about the fact that Moncef Salawi, even though he's now no longer part of it because of some very quiet sexual problems that nobody seemed to talk about, which is very telling, but some people, it's all the talk. He was all about bioelectric medicine, bioimplantables, nano-injectable gels, and all the DARPA Pentagon stuff that we're now hearing about. So Matt Hepburn, these people that had their entire careers focused on exactly this kind of technology and then broke off and joined a vaccine program? Sure, that makes a lot of sense. And now Matt suddenly is promoting a bioimplantable chip to predict COVID-19. Now, let's pretend like it makes no sense whatsoever to eventually have these things come together. I mean, this is what's so fundamentally ridiculous is we're talking about things that obviously make sense. If it wasn't about, you know, vaccines as a political talking point, and we were just talking about something that we were already injecting for the purpose of COVID-19 or whatever we're talking about. And then we come up with something that goes, hey, this is an injectable thing too. And this helps you fight against the next time. Why don't we put it in the thing we're injecting now? And then all of a sudden you're able to predict. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Now, is it happening? I would argue no, just because I don't see the example of that. And if I have evidence, I'll report it. But is it possible? Of course it is. They could be doing it right now for all we know. But just simply arguing the possibility of something like that is why we get deemed fake news, because we're willing to entertain real, obvious possibilities. Think about that. Also remember that our government has admitted to testing on us with biological, all sorts of different things over 239 times. They've admitted to doing so. Operation Sea Spray, I always point out, is one that's very obvious and very publicized. People died. They tested on you without your knowledge. Let's pretend like that would never happen today as they starve an entire country in Yemen for geopolitical goals. But going forward, DARPA has also created a filter which can remove COVID virus from the blood when attached to dialysis, which I just find very odd. A filter? I mean, look, we're talking about nanotechnology in this regard. Like, I would argue there's something more going on there, but I will hold off on my thoughts until I find more out about that specific topic. They are working on a vaccine that would work against all coronaviruses, even the ones not yet identified. Whoops, that's a little bit of a little too much information, right? Doesn't that show you exactly what we're already talking about? That the plan is with this mRNA plug-and-play platform where they're just going to make every time something new pops up, they just go, oh, we'll enter in the genetic code and we'll pump out the new thing that's currently hurting a lot of people that we're not talking about that I'll talk about in a minute. This is the plan. It's always been the plan. This is why when China sent Moderna the genetic code on January 11th, by the 13th, they were already making vaccines and already beginning testing. That's not possible unless you already had this in place and the plan was set and you were ready to receive the next step. That's what happened. Fairy telling. The microchip is sure to spark worries among some about government agency implanting a microchip in a citizen. Okay, wait a minute. Let me read that again. The microchip is sure to spark worries among some about a government agency implanting a microchip in a citizen. Okay, wait a minute. What am I missing? Isn't that exactly what this is? DARPA is a government agency, Pentagon, and they are literally telling you that they want this to be implanted in you so that they can predict COVID-19. Now, then we're not at the level where they're saying we're going to make you do it. Of course, that comes a couple weeks down the line once everybody on Twitter has acted like that's so crazy it'll never happen. But they're literally saying that this will spark worries about this crazy idea that we're literally right now doing. Like, they can't even get out of their own conspiracy mindset, you know, what's the right word for it? They can't get out of their own mindset that all of these things are so ridiculously fake, even the thing they're currently writing about. I just find that to be obscenely ridiculous. Officials who spoke to the 60 Minutes team said the Pentagon isn't looking to trap your every move. They had to state it like that on purpose. First of all, don't you love, we're not looking to track every move. No, we wouldn't do that. No, that's the other guy. That's the FBI. That's them. We don't want to track everything, just some of your moves, right? We don't want to track every move. It doesn't matter how you put the emphasis. We don't want to track your every move. That implies some of them, right? Like, that is just crazy to me. The Pentagon isn't looking at you. Of course they are. They're all constant everything today. What do you think they're doing right now with all of their contact tracing and everything? I'm not specifically Pentagon, but your government. That's what this is. Of course they're trying to track you guys. And whether they wanted to do it in this moment or not, you know that they could do it later. Because you know, and this is the point of this. These things, and by the way, guys, that is exactly the Perfusa chip that we've talked about in the past. It's the exact same thing. So they have the ability to track you. This has been very clearly stated. So they're just going, we don't want to track your every move. Don't worry. Because trusting your government has always led to good things, right? 15 days to flatten the curve. Just trust us, guys. Quote, you put it underneath your skin, and what that tells you is that there are chemical reactions going on inside the body. And that signal means you are going to have symptoms tomorrow. Cool. Medical pre-crime. Now, of course, when you get that, they tell you you're going to have symptoms, and then you don't show symptoms. I'm sure that just means you're asymptomatic. Of course. But you're still dangerous, though, so we're going to keep you locked down. And it's also just because you were writing that story about something we don't want you to publish, but you know, whatever. You know, or fill in the excuse here. This is an easy way to manipulate anybody at any time for any reason based on this idea that you will get sick, and we know it because our information. It says another invention of Hepburn's team is a filter, which we talked about, is placed on dialysis machines and removes the virus from the blood. I want to know more about this. I mean, this seems, I guess, almost impossible. I mean, it's certainly possible, but it doesn't. If this is something that's been there, why hasn't this been discussed from long before? And here's something I find even more alarming. Guess what? The FDA has authorized that filter for emergency use. Isn't this the only thing we get now? That's the point. They want you to quickly become familiar with emergency use. It doesn't matter. Not approved. No. We didn't really fully test this at all. We just emergency used it because you're all going to die from COVID. So we just know we have to emergency use everything that we want to use. But we won't emergency use things we already know work, like vitamin D or vitamin C or all these things that could easily happen right now, or any number of these other big pharma drugs that anybody would love to talk about that have very clear track records of efficacy. But no. We're going to take something we just invented and tell you we think it works, and then jam that through with an emergency use because that's what we want, the new technology, the nanotechnology, our things we created for the technocratic rise and the Great Reset, not things we already know work to a large degree. This is so disgusting that all they're doing is they're using their loopholes to force in what they want. And they know that if they did allow us to have these other things that already have efficacy backgrounds, that these things wouldn't be allowed to be emergency use authorized. You see how that works? It's all engineered this way, guys. It's not very hard to see if you just know who we're talking about. This is who they are. This is what they've always done. Now, what's funny, by the way, is if you this is a Daily Mail article. If you take the title exactly and search for it, guess what doesn't come up? There's plenty of other things in there, but isn't it funny that Daily Mail doesn't come up? It's all a bunch of Reddit and side weird. Like, of course, no website that anybody in the mainstream would take seriously. You think that's an accident? just find that to be pretty hilarious. I'm sure maybe it's just my one search. Maybe it'll be different. In any case, it's very clearly here. Pentagon unveils microchip that senses COVID in the body, inspired by huge virus outbreak from COVID. Yeah, so this thing that they've been making for 20 years, like, let's just pretend like it was inspired by COVID-19, because that's all they want you to think about, that everything that's happening all in this big surge is all because of your safety, not anything else that we've been working on for 20 years or more. No, no, no. That's conspiracy theory. And as I said, featuring Matt Hepburn, of all people, we warned about exactly this when discussing Operation Warp Speed, specifically Hepburn. At what point will you start listening to us and realize the mainstream media are simply gatekeepers today? They are willfully deceiving you about the reality, guys. And as Lucky points out, I'm glad he noticed it, or she, not very micro, is it? Right? Exactly. It's not. And that's pretty ridiculous, knowing the technology that they do have. That's actually a better picture. I should have used that one. How funny is that, though? Oh, I don't want to lose the link. I'm glad you pointed this out, though. So, because this is the point I'm always making, is that if you could, the current up-to-date technology is way, I mean, if in 2004, if it's an eighth the size of a grain of salt, imagine what it is today. That has the same functionality for a lot of the things we're talking about, because these were the ideal, the mindsets. I mean, remember that there's already discussions of nanotechnology and these different things that can actually deliver vaccines. This is not a, I'm actually planning on discussing this in a future show, going through the actual science, because it's a very real concept. I shouldn't have even said it like that, because now people want to hear more. But that's an important topic that I'm sure I will get to in the near future. But here is, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and skip this. I was just going to play the video where Matt Hepburn talks, but I think you get the point in regard to who he is and why it's important. This is just the part where he goes through and talks about it. That's all it is. And he's saying, here's the thing and here's the chip. Now, here's what Brock has to say. And this is the main point, at least to the begin here, as we get into the next point. The mainstream media has been gaslighting you from the very beginning of all of this. And this is not to say that everybody saying anything about microchips is now vindicated, or anybody that was ever mentioning this has been always been right. It's about the simple fact that there has been some people who have been objectively reporting on this that have very clearly been calling this correctly and have been dismissed and disparaged and censored for the facts. Pointing to DARPA experimentation from 2012, which is not a secret. See, and you can see the first part of it. From Bill Gates' plot to microchip the world, and see, this is the point. So when we talk about microchips, DARPA, and the connection to the technocratic rise in COVID-19 agenda, we get framed as saying Bill Gates is going to use microchips to take over the world. Did I even say anything about that? But see, this is how they... This is a strongman argument. They attack what they claim you're trying to say and pretend like that debunks my research and studies and scientific information. But it says, to Dr. Fauci, blocking natural cures. Oh, I don't know. You mean like vitamin D, vitamin C, which they've clearly, the Department of Justice said, you can't use this, even though Fauci himself said he would prescribe vitamin or give vitamin D to his patients in the beginning of COVID-19. Because all this stuff is easy to look up. If he said he would do it, he would give vitamin D to his patient in the context of COVID-19. And that's a no-brainer, because vitamin D has roundly been shown to increase your immune system. That's a no-brainer. So even if somebody wants to market it literally for COVID-19, that's still not wrong. And Fauci says he would do it too. Then we jump forward 6 months and suddenly it's fake news to act like vitamin D can help. How does that even make sense? Only if you're in the middle of a massive psychological operation, or PSYOP. I had to mix both. How anti-vaxxers are already peddling bizarre theories about COVID-19 vaccine before it even exists. Right. You mean that thing that you've had, the discussion have been working on since SARS and before? Clearly, it's already been there. Pentagon scientists reveal a microchip that senses COVID-19 in your body before you show symptoms, and a filter that extracts blood. So from April 2020 to April 2021. Where yes, conspiracy theory becomes conspiracy fact. Isn't that funny? And the only difference is how they frame what we were actually saying to make it look ridiculous. Then they frame this in a very serious way that's actually completely scientific. That is gaslighting. That is the mainstream media doing its role, which is misinformation. Thank you, Brock, for doing that. I thought that was clearly they got a good response. I mean, people care about this. People know and they see. That's why they're so desperate to censor people like us. Now, what does this all lead to? Microchips and this whole scenario, guys? Well, we already know. We've already been talking about it. Transforming the public health system. This has been their plan for decades. Whether we're talking about the Converging Technologies plan, where they discuss altering evolution with nanotechnology in 20 years, which puts us right where we are now, or we have the EU discussion on their roadmap
Let's see if I got that still here. There it is.
Where it shows very clearly that the EU has been planning for vaccine cards up until 21 and 21. And then between 21 and 2022, we switch over to vaccine passports. Because that's just a coincidence. Because in 2018, clearly they knew they would have the perfect opportunity to push in vaccine passports, which nobody wanted before that because COVID. Because they, of course, that just makes sense. They would know that far out, right? Look at where it starts and look at where the plan is. This is the kind of stuff that we have to acknowledge to understand what's really happening, what's really going on. Transforming the public health system. The idea is, this one paragraph will say it all to you. The health protection capabilities of Public Health England and the NHS test and trace. So contact tracing, surveillance, tracking will combine. So your public health system is going to combine with a track and trace enforcement arm into a new UK health security agency. You see that correctly? A security agency. So now the UKHSA will bring together our national public health science and response capabilities to protect against infectious disease and external health threats in bad times and good. You know what that boils down to? Medical police. That is medical enforcement. That is what that is. Contact tracers, combining it, and now it's a security agency. They're going to be following up on leads. This is investigation. This is a medical police force. This is what it's leading towards. That's why these chips will be very relevant. What this will ultimately lead to? Medical criminals. People that don't want to take part. If you've got medical police, well, it completely stands to reason that there'll be criminals on the other end of that equation. So who becomes the criminals? Those that do not vaccinate, those that do not separate or allow themselves to be contact traced for the rest of their lives. That's what this will be. So just take a moment to recognize how the media is perpetuating this illusion so it all falls into place. Now, bringing that over to the vaccine part of this, or technically the first part of the vaccine, but more specifically about how the gaslighting is continuing. This is a huge study. Well, technically, I guess it is both, because this is a really big study. This shouldn't be undermined, because this is what this is showing you should be alarming. And this is exactly why I argue it is being ignored or dismissed or misrepresented or even altered. Oh, dear. Some people are going to enjoy hearing this news. Study finds COVID variants affects vaccinated people more than unvaccinated people. What do you know? Well, let's take a look at that. Okay, well, here's the archived version. Study finds COVID variant affects vaccinated individuals more than unvaccinated. Well, what do you know? It's a pretty big deal. That's from an Israeli study. Okay, well, guess what I found out when I went to go look at this when I was investigating it? They changed the title. But not just the title. But first, let's look at just the difference of the title. Study finds, and this is what the study actually, this is the information, finds COVID variant affects vaccinated individuals more than unvaccinated. So the variants come along, and if you've been vaccinated, it puts you at higher risk. You know what that's called? Antibody-dependent enhancement. It's what we've been talking about. It's what the informed consent document was telling us in regard to vaccines in particular. The fact that in October of 2020, the study very clearly finds that informed consent disclosure to vaccinate trial subjects of risk of COVID-19 worsening clinical disease. It says very clearly, COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may sensitize vaccine recipients to more severe disease than if they were not vaccinated. That's called antibody-dependent enhancement. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk of antibody dependent enhancement. It's right here, just so you can see that I'm not making that and the acronym up. Should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects currently in vaccine trials, as well as those being recruited for the trials and future patients. So everybody anywhere at any time getting these ones or any of these vaccines after approval, which hasn't even happened yet, by the way. That's the point of saying future patients after the approval, which means, by the way, that you're either a future patient after approval or you're either in a trial or being recruited for a trial. Make sure you understand that. So you're in a trial. If it's not approved, we're all in a trial. But it says that must happen in order to meet the medical ethics standards of patient comprehension for informed consent. The point, the study found very clearly that this vaccine causes antibody-dependent enhancement in October of 2020. And that not only that happens, but that they are not even doing their job. That it says, again, specific and significant Now, it's a clearly defined, very big problem that shouldn't be prominently independently disclosed, but it's not. What happened? Absolutely nothing. Literally nothing. This was stated. It was discussed. They didn't even talk about it. Mainstream media didn't even give it the time of day because they're not actually here to inform you. This is a risk. This is literally telling you a high, very severe, significant risk to your health if you get vaccinated, and they didn't even care. Just think about that. Back to this. That's what this is. This study is finding the antibody-dependent enhancement is still there, just like the previous science said, right? Trust the science, right, guys? Okay, so here's what it says on the original article. The South Africa variant of the coronavirus affects vaccinated individuals more than those who were unaffected, unvaccinated. This is the Washington Examiner. And this is citing Israeli information. According to a new study from Tel Aviv University, and Israel's largest healthcare provider. Not something to sneeze at, right? Okay, well, I guess you can probably guess what happened. Clearly, somebody in the elitist circle said, no, 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 you can't state that. So they changed it. South African COVID variant might evade protection from vaccine. That's not even the same thing. Right? So in one case, you're talking about people who are much higher risk if they've gotten vaccinated. Now they're saying that the variant might evade protection, just simply saying that that implies the vaccine is better. That's not what the study finds. Now here's what they actually say, and this they changed it. Here's the original paragraph. Here's what it says now. The South African variant of coronavirus might evade the Pfizer vaccine. According to the study, on and on and on. That's it. That's all they say. So they changed the very real finding of unvaccinated people being at less risk of the variants than people who are vaccinated to simply saying that, well, the variant might not work, or the vaccine might not work with the variant. Okay, that's a very, very dishonest and manipulative way of saying, well, it not only doesn't work, it could kill you. Nope, we will leave that out. And guess what the best part is? Washington Examiner and Lawrence Richard. There is not an asterisk. There is not an update. There is nothing posted anywhere on this entire article that says we changed the title and literally changed the context of the entire article and an entire paragraph. Can you imagine what they would do if they called somebody in the independent media doing that? They would say, see, this is the fake news, independent media. They can't even cite her. They won't even tell you when they change what they're doing. This is mainstream media. This is incredible manipulation. Gaslighting. Hiding the facts. Now, here's the funny part. You actually link to the study in this, which was what they're linking to. Guess where it takes you? To a Fox News article that says sort of the same thing, but a little bit more serious. Israel COVID-19 study finds South African variant able to break through Pfizer vaccine. So still not the real point, but a little more than Washington Examiner is willing to say. Then you come down here and find, okay, fine, let's look at the actual study. And it takes you to a blank page that just says science. Isn't that fantastic? This is the epitome of mainstream media. All they want you to do is trust what they're telling you the science says and never actually let you see or understand what the science actually says, which in this case is that you're at more risk if you are vaccinated with these new variants. The study finds. As always, the study could be wrong, any number of things. But the fact that they're ignoring this and not even telling you that it's happening needs to show you what's really going on. That the mainstream media are gatekeeper manipulators. And they know this. Right? They know this. They know what their job is, and they know how this is supposed to go forward. This is, of course, Project Veritas that just caught CNN live talking about exactly that. Now, again, do all those people that go, oh, Project Veritas, why does it even matter? Did this guy not say this? I mean, you look at it for yourself. You can pretend it's out of context. It's very clear what he is saying. Look, even if it is taken out of context or edited in a very manipulative way, his statements are quite clear. Take that with a grain of salt and realize this is exactly what it looks like. This is a CNN technical director telling you that COVID-19 is good for ratings and that the more we sell you on the deaths, even when it's not accurate, the more our ratings go up. Take a listen.
COVID, gangbusters of ratings. COVID, gangbusters of ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side. Let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher.
Fear. Like, fear really drives
on that point about this, the graph, remember how many times they tried to pretend like that was fake news? when Biden suddenly got elected and the next day there was just no longer COVID-19 death counts screaming on the side of everything they did. Well, there you go. They're caught lying. But just let's not pretend, by the way, that Fox News is any better, guys. Maybe in the context of COVID-19, but you know what I'm saying. They're both mainstream media and they're all out to manipulate you. Now, funny on that same point, I've got something I'll show in a minute about Tucker and what he recently said about the vaccine. Doesn't mean, I mean, whether he's honest or not, the point is that the media platform is part of the problem. Tucker could all just be a release valve for all we know, but I'm getting ahead of myself.
If it bleeds, it leads.
No.
How many times have you heard me say that, guy? This is the reality.
No one ever says those things out loud, but it's obvious.
What you're about to see is so shocking. Admissions about COVID, its impact, the bias, and things that we've all suspected, but have never been able to confirm until now.
Sad news doesn't do well with ratings. You know, like, if you can get someone impassioned, that does really well with ratings. Sad news, back to back to back, doesn't do really well unless it affects them directly. COVID, gangbusters with ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side, which I have a major problem with, that we're tallying how many people die every day. Because I've even looked at it and be like, let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher. And I'm like, what am I rallying for? That's a problem.
Yeah.
We're doing that, you know? Like, this special red phone right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, isn't that in and of itself an important point right there? This is a guy working at CNN who has a physical, who clearly doesn't, at least he's stating that he doesn't feel okay about that. That he knows that's wrong, right? So he knows it's wrong. On one end, he's okay continuing doing it. So it clearly shows you the moral kind of ambiguity there. But at the same point, that they all know it's wrong and they keep doing it, right? That the entity is the problem. They're gonna, if this guy decides to start telling the truth, they will drop him and get somebody new, and he'll be a fake news conspiracy theorist for the rest of his life. It does not have to do with the content. It has to do with the narrative.
And they pick it up, and it's like the head of the network being like, there's nothing that you're doing right now that makes me want to stick. Put the numbers back up, because that's the most enticing thing that we have.
So are we going to pretend like the COVID-19 discussion, just like with Trump, is not driving their decisions? Like that they're so aggressively willing to lean into whatever gives them ratings that they wouldn't then, let's say, frame the information so it looks like it's more dangerous, such as jumping from deaths to cases the moment that it suited their interests, and keeping the fear going and ignoring the studies about masks or ignoring the information that actually makes everything they've done has been choices made about the narrative that actually go directly against the science, directly against the actual facts. As I said with Denny Rancourt, right? At what point did they switch from trust the science to ignore all the science and trust what they're saying? Because that's what's happening. New studies are coming out left and right. The Stanford study and the mass, which we'll get to at the end of the show, they're literally blocking that link on Twitter right now. That's a Stanford study from 2021 January that says everything we're talking about. And I can't wait to get to that part towards the end and show you the fact check where they said, no, this didn't even have cited source. They didn't even back up their source material. It's like, are you kidding me? There's like 45 sources to absolutely peer-reviewed, and that's a peer-reviewed study. I'll get to it. I just think it's so hilarious that this is the best they can do. This is pathetic.
Put it back up. So like things like that are constantly talked about.
I mean, there's no such thing as unbiased news. Any reporter on CNN, what they're actually doing is they're telling the person what to say. It's always like leading them in a direction before they even open their mouth. And the only people that we let on the air, for the most part, are people that have a proven track record of taking the bait.
What do you know about that? They're fake, guys. That's what this. They're fake. They're lying about everything. Even the idea of, I mean, it's of course there's no unbiased news. Everybody has biases. This is, remember that whole point where they tried to have that conversation in the mainstream where they said, well, no, I've got opinions, but I'm no bias. They can't even admit it to themselves. They know this. They know it, which means when they state these things on the air, they know that they're lying. They're okay with that. They are dishonest. Their entire field of work is dishonesty. Maybe it wasn't always like that, but I don't even care to find out. Where we are now, these people have been co-opted and taken over and completely bastardized. And now their only job is to parrot what they're told. And some of them don't even realize that. Some of them strive every day. Like, think about all of these independent media out there that are just desperately groveling, trying to become mainstream media. They, to some degree, know, because we're all screaming that they're ridiculous for doing so. We're all screaming that mainstream media is lying about data. They see it too. They just want to be on the inside. People strive their entire careers to be a deceiver. Think about that. And of course, as Casey points out, well, this is just in. CNN director says the network hyped COVID-19 death toll numbers to drive higher ratings. Duh. Of course, that's what they do. That's what they do. And this is what's so funny is that if you know it, you know it, guys. Once you pull yourself out of this illusion, it's just clownish. But this is why I want you to recognize that you are not alone. I know it's hard to get past this because all you see is what the mainstream media batters you with. And when you go outside, all you're confronted with, in my opinion, is a huge majority of people that are just going along to get along. And then the occasional people that will point and scream and laugh and say something. And then you feel that that represents everybody that's out there because they're all in masks. I argue at least half of them don't want to be wearing it. And if they had the opportunity, they would stand on your side. But they don't know enough and don't care enough. The reality here is that the majority is beginning to define itself. Since January, Brian Stelter's show, Reliable Sources, God, that's perfect, has lost 65% of its viewers. Guys, 65%? That's crazy. That shows you, in my opinion, fundamentally, that their entire shtick was first Trump, then fear-mongering COVID, right? And then the moment that these things start to become flat, they just lose everything. CNN has lost over 50%, not just Brian, but CNN, the entire platform, over 50% of their target primetime audience. If you lose 65% of your viewing audience, you should be fired. But you see, this isn't about doing a good work. This is about being a propagandist. And they like him because he's just this nice little guy that looks very normal and he's lying to you about damn near everything. And he probably doesn't even realize it. I think that half of these guys aren't as intelligent enough to even tie their shoes, let alone be able to understand that they're being this deceptive. But in any case, 65%. Tell me that does not show you something. And as Allison Morrow showed me, I'm actually going to have her on Rockfin in one of these next few days to talk about the contrast between mainstream media and current and where we are, because she's someone who just left not too long ago. And it's very interesting to hear her inside about these certain people and what they're doing. But look at what that says. Fox's biggest stars have not shared vaccine selfies. And apparently, Mr. Reliable Sources here just couldn't, he was just losing it. I don't understand it. Like, why wouldn't they want to show their self? Why wouldn't they want to go online and virtue signal about getting a vaccine that is not approved, that is experimental, according to the NIH, as of still right now, that is hurting people? That one iteration was just suspended. And look at, you know what he's saying is, why aren't they doing what we're being told we have to do? Right? This is the guy going out there. Why aren't you wearing a mask? I have to wear a mask. At the end of the day, going out and showing your vaccine is about coercion. You're trying to manipulate people into doing what you know your job is to do. Drive the agenda, Brian. We see you, man. We see you. And they know that. That's why I think they're concerned. But this is why you're seeing that obscene drop in numbers. Now, talking about the vaccine, because this is clearly what they're gaslighting everywhere, before we get into the Johnson & Johnson and where this is where this has gone, I want you to remember the AstraZeneca discussion that's just, they're just like pretending didn't happen, which, by the way, I do think is going to come in regard to this. It's going to come back up, because I truly think, just to kind of throw this in right at the beginning, that at some level, what they're trying to accomplish here is making sure that we only end up using primarily the mRNA nanotechnology-based vaccines. That's what I think. Just my opinion. Think about it for yourself. But remember, this is my show from March 29th, also censored on YouTube. 20-plus countries suspended AstraZeneca vaccine. It's 30, actually, plus, after all said and done. Yet mainstream media never stopped selling it. Anybody disagree with that? All these countries, and this is my point then, was the same. I'm not saying that we had to say this is going to kill everybody. My point is you have 30-plus countries, not all looking at one page of information, 30-plus countries with their own respective agencies doing their own respective research on their own respective data. All of them are separate. They come to their own independent, respective conclusions that this thing seems to suggest a danger, right? So they all say that. They all suspend this. And mainstream media continues to go, no, take it anyway. The benefits outweigh the risks. You mean the risk that we don't fully understand? Yeah, because that doesn't sound stupid. This is your mainstream media. Now, here's the point of why I want you to remember that. That's, by the way, still happening. There are still places right now, the U.S. government, for crying out loud, gave AstraZeneca to somebody else to use. Go ahead and use it. We don't want it. Remember that on March 15th, the World Health Organization also doubled down and said countries should still be using the thing that 30 countries have now suspended. After several countries, well, technically this is before all 30 had, but in any case, several. I don't know, it's the same concept. If you have several different countries with independent respective agencies looking at their own data, and they all go, yeah, this thing looks dangerous, and then you go, no, keep using it anyway, what does that show you? If safety was the interest, if there is even the possibility, they would pause it because they didn't know. It's not like they got the data and said, oh, it's only one risk, so we're fine. They don't know the full risk because it's still being investigated. That's when you pause because you don't know. But they turned around and said, take it anyway. That's never been more clear. Then on April 7th, right? So think about how far away. That's a little bit less than a month, 3 weeks. They jump over after they say this. Keep using this thing that all these countries have suspended. And they go, well, we're going to start testing it on children now. Remember, I covered this in the show, and I was baffled. You're telling me that there are countries that are currently investigating this for issues, and we don't even know the fully defined risks, and you're going to just start testing on children because danger that they're not at risk from, because they aren't actually at risk from COVID-19, and there isn't really asymptomatic spread, so you're just pushing this on children for what? Testing. Exactly like we've always done before this. Then, 3 weeks later, then they pause it. So they got their test in, though, didn't they? Children jabs halted in trial as adult blood clot probed. You mean the same adult blood clot that you were already knew about when you said keep using it anyway? You mean the blood clot issue where countries had already suspended it before you started the child trial? And then suddenly just said, oh, well, that thing we already knew about now means more, so we're going to stop? These children were already tested on. This is crazy. So this is still AstraZeneca, guys. A trial of the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine on children has stopped giving out jabs while UK's medicine regulator investigates a possible link with rare blood clots in adults. Okay. That was in its adults. It was happening back then. Why they decided to start and then stop, I think shows you that it was more about getting in those kids' arms for whatever they're trying to accomplish. But Denmark has now permanently stopped AstraZeneca, which we're going to see more, because there's obviously a risk. It is completely obvious. Denmark has said, no, we're done. We're done with this one. But AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccines are very similar. The experiment is almost over. Remember, and I've said this many times, both of the clinical trials offered vaccine to the control arm. And I always give credit to Del Bigtree because he called this months before. I mean, probably more than that. He said, mark my words, they are going to give them the vaccine under the guise of some moral obligation. And you know what that does? It spikes the long-term data. Gee, why would they want to do that? Because then you can't compare the long-term data with the current. I mean, that's the way you will fully define the real obvious issues. When you do that, you make it basically impossible to fully understand it. But why would they do that? When you know that that data is not what you want people to see. Both trials offer the vaccine to the control arm. And so there is no data for anyone to look at now. They're not liable. They have indemnity. Doesn't matter. They don't care. Well, coming forward to today, or the 13th technically, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, right? So AstraZeneca was suspended, kind of quietly just put back on some shelves while Denmark is now out completely. But they remember, Norway, Germany, Wall Street Journal reported it. There's they proved the link. So we know the AstraZeneca vaccine causes blood clots. It can. We know now that Johnson & Johnson causes the same thing. This is not new. This is what we've already talked about. Here's the FDA. Today, the FDA and the CDC issued a statement regarding the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We are recommending a pause, otherwise known as suspension, as some people have pointed out. It's funny because it's, you know, got paused from school today, right? They've changed their terminology in mid-pandemic, apparently, or mid-fake pandemic. We are recommending a pause in the use of this vaccine out of an abundance of caution, right? Okay. So this is the cases they have, apparently six cases, they're telling us anyway, six cases out of millions of doses, six reported. Okay. Well, we have a hell of a lot more than that reported from AstraZeneca, but that one didn't get stopped. Why is that? Why did you continue to test on children with this one well after all of the VAERS information and all the continued statements and everyone just said, no, VAERS is fake. It's fake news. We're not going to look at that. Then you get the most, it's weird to see their overreaction with this one while they aren't even paying attention to AstraZeneca. Why? Some people pointed out that Donald Trump seems to be one of the large investors in Johnson & Johnson. Maybe it's partisan manipulation. Maybe it's petty, catty nonsense of politics. But I find it to be probably a lot more than that. As of 4/12, 6.8 million doses of the J&J vaccine have been administered in the U.S. CDC FDA are reviewing the data involving six reported cases. So where are they getting the six reported cases? Right? So why are they taking those ones seriously on VAERS, which is where all of these are? Right? Ask yourself why they suddenly just said, well, these ones make sense. But all before this, they said, no, who knows? People have blood clots all the time. People naturally get it, and we don't know. We can't prove it. This is a choice. This is a choice. They're making a choice to acknowledge these ones and make it look like things are happening. And I think it's clearly driving to the ones they want people to use. There's no consistency here. You have to be able to acknowledge that between AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, the way they've reacted is completely disjointed. And really, I want you to think about the VAERS discussion, how they're undermining, excuse me, shut my microphone, how they're undermining every single discussion point here around every other vaccine, Moderna, Pfizer, all the reports, all the real miscarriages, the blood clots, the thrombosis and other ones, or the encephalitis, or the anaphylactic shock. And it's all like, no, we can't prove any of it. And suddenly they just pick these ones up and go, yeah, these ones make sense. It's all the same data. Treatment of this specific type of blood clot is different from the treatment that might typically be administered. Here's the FDA and what they're stating. The FDA and CDC are reviewing data. The question is, why are the FDA recommending a pause? Reviewing data involving six cases. So they're not even sure, right? Remember that they're reviewing the data of these six reported cases. Again, I ask the question, why then those six from the thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of reports? And that's only 1%, remember. I think it's quite clear I've made that. It's clearly a choice. One individual died. All cases occurred in females. Out of the abundance of caution, the FDA and CDC are recommending a pause in this one, but while letting the other one continue that has the exact same issue. Abundance of caution, clearly. The safety monitoring program that is in place to monitor COVID-19 vaccines is working. Okay, well, there's the point. Don't listen to all those conspiracy theorists. Clearly, this is working, clearly, because we just shut this down. So take the other one now. As we are able to detect the reports of these very rare, right? So here's what's funny. They're able to detect the reports of rare incidences of severe adverse events. Why those ones? When there are 1,000 other serious adverse events being reported, did they detect those ones and ignore them? Yes. I want you to remember that as I discussed this before, right now, based on the actual information of knowing that 1%, according to Harvard and the HHS, is about 1% is what gets reported from vaccine adverse effects. That's according to Harvard and HHS. So taking that in consideration, because those are the experts you're supposed to listen to, right? That means that if we have thousands of deaths, hundreds even, that means it's times 100. So that means we have a lot, tens, hundreds, possibly hundreds of thousands of adverse events. So the point is very clear. If you're somebody who doesn't have any comorbidities, if you're under 70 years old, you are higher risk. Well, let's just put it this way to be very specific. Children under 19. either in Canada or the U.S., who are stated to have a 0% chance, according to both health agencies, are at a higher risk of vaccine adverse events than COVID-19. That's a fact. But they don't like that. They want to censor it. But this is why they're trying to hide this stuff. And that's why only six reports is BS. Remember, if we had six reports, that would make it 600, right? Six, yeah. So if you're doing the math by Harvard and HHS, doesn't mean it's always the case, remember, but this is just their estimate. But that's an estimate from the very people they keep telling us to listen to. So I don't know why we wouldn't factor it in. Here's what Fauci has to say. Here's what you need to know about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Today, the CDC and FDA announced that they are calling a pause on the administration of the J&J vaccine for COVID-19 due to a small number of adverse events. It was seen in 6 out of the 6.85 million people who've been vaccinated. And
now, just right there again, why aren't they referencing AstraZeneca? Why is that not being discussed? It's a glaring, obvious thing that they're ignoring like it didn't even happen, which was far bigger than what we're staring at here. It's almost like they wanted that to happen, right? And on top of that, again, the idea that he's only talking about six when it's pretty much guaranteed that it's more than that, especially based on, you can look this up right now. Look it up right now on Veyer system, and I'll promise you, and I've looked at it myself, I just want it pulled up now, that you can see Johnson & Johnson and see plenty more, even examples of blood clots, but they won't state that. They only talk about the ones they want you to think about.
And out of an abundance of caution, they've called a pause on the administration. There are a couple of reasons to do that. The first is to investigate this a bit further. And the second is to alert the clinicians out there when someone comes in with these types of symptoms to ask them if they have a history of a recent vaccination.
What was the question again?
The six seen in abundance of caution, they've called a pause on the administration.
If the side effects are so rare, why the need to pause the use of the vaccines? For those on the podcast, is the question.
There are a couple of reasons to do that. The first is to investigate this a bit further.
Which means they don't know, right? That's the point. If you're investigating it, it means you don't fully know. You may think you know, and maybe you almost know. Maybe you're pretty certain, but you don't know. Always recognize that they are terrified of saying that. So the point is, if we're investigating to find out the full scale, then it shouldn't be given to anybody at any point, which is why they're doing the pause, or at least the argument.
And the second is to alert.
But the point was that AstraZeneca is still being continued. Sorry, that was the point.
The clinicians out there, when someone comes in with these types of symptoms, to ask them if they have a history of a recent vaccination.
Should people who have already gotten the vaccine be worried? Obviously,
the people
yes.
who have already gotten the vaccine should not be worried because, as I mentioned, this is a very rare event.
That we're still investigating to find the full risk that we don't know yet. But trust me that we know that we don't know, but it's totally rare.
One in more than a million individuals. The J&J vaccine has been shown in clinical trials to be highly efficacious. What we're talking about...
Which means that you have mild symptoms from high symptoms, but you can still catch it, you can still spread it, and you still have to distance, still have to wear your mask, but totally efficacious though.
Now has nothing to do with the efficacy of the vaccine.
I mean, isn't that contradictory? I mean, clearly to say efficacy only applies to specifically antibody creation is kind of a ridiculous statement because if it creates antibodies in your body, but makes your legs fall off, I would say that's not efficacious. I mean, I don't know. That's just me though.
The federal government is...
It says, what about people who have appointments to get Johnson & Johnson?
The federal government is working with the distributors of this vaccine to see if we can expedite getting appointments to get an alternative vaccine, namely either the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine.
Well, what do you know? That's okay. We'll just give you the mRNA ones. Is there a chance we find the same thing with the other vaccines? That's an unequivocal yes. And I'll let you listen to Dr. Michael Yeadon, who says the same thing.
Over 120 million people have received at least one dose of the vaccines. Out of that 120 million, only a small proportion, 6.85 million, are J&J. All the rest are either Moderna and Pfizer. There have been no signals that there's any concern about adverse events among those tens of millions of people.
Did you hear what he just said? Is he honestly trying to pretend that there's no signal of any kind that Moderna and Pfizer are causing adverse events? That's what he just said. So let's put it to bed right now. The fact that he said that makes it quite clear that, in my opinion, the plan is to pivot into these two vaccines because it's unequivocal. If we want to actually discuss very obvious adverse events that are up through the roof, that's Pfizer and Moderna, right? These are blood clots, and it's very alarming, but I would argue, by and large, it's far, far more that we can see on these two. And he's acting like there's not any issue whatsoever. Again, the fact that they would just pick out these six and make it look like they care and they're researching while ignoring literally every other of the tens of thousands of it shows you that it's a choice they're doing. They're making this choice to make it look like they care.
Are either Moderna, one dose of the vaccines. Out of that 120 million, only a small proportion, 6.85 million are J&J. All the rest are either Moderna and Pfizer.
Which means that they're probably at much higher risk.
Have been no signals that there's any concern about adverse events among those tens of millions of people.
That is such a lie. And I've shown you the video.
Absolutely, you should get vaccinated. The danger of COVID-19 as a disease clearly, overwhelmingly outstrips any risk of an adverse event from a vaccine.
You mean the adverse events that we're still investigating? Right, cool. Because we totally know, right? All the adverse events and how severe they can be 10 years down the line. But totally don't worry about the thing we don't know. It totally outweighs it. Lies. At the very least, they don't know. And all they keep saying is, I mean, think about it like this. They just were screaming that this was fake news. Right? These aren't even happening. The benefits outweigh the risk. Don't worry. And then they finally go, okay, fine, it is happening. But the benefits outweigh the risk. Excuse me. So at what point does that shift, right? Why don't we give me a graph, Fauci, and show me where the benefits are and show me the risks. And see, the point is it's a joke. This is a statement that they continue to regurgitate because vaccines are the point. It's insulting to your intelligence. According to Reuters, EU comms ends AZ and J&J vaccine contracts. So here he is telling you, don't worry, they're all good. Take it anyway. Just jam it in your arm. But there are plenty of people that are just going, you know what? No, thank you. But don't forget, we're still going to use the mRNA vaccines. Quote, the European Commission has decided the contracts with the companies that produce vaccines that are valid for the current year will not be renewed at their when they expire. Seems interesting. It's almost like they're desperately trying to keep you on one mindset while plenty of other people are going like, screw this. This seems like it's getting crazy. Bloomberg, Johnson & Johnson. This is crazy. So what this is, they're telling you, just so we're clear, it's a fact that J&J, AstraZeneca can cause blood clots. Fact. I was censored for saying that. I'm going to continue to point that out because it's obscene how people are making very clear statements based on facts, such as the Norway regulatory agency saying we confirmed it, and I'm being censored for stuff like that. But after we know that, Johnson & Johnson will now revise COVID-19 vaccine study protocols and just simply exclude pregnant health workers from a trial in South Africa after U.S. regulators halted the rollout. So we'll just keep using in Africa, though. We'll just kick out the pregnant people that we were already testing on in multiple different parts because we just want to know what happens to them. But we're not testing on you guys, though. If you are listening to this stuff and thinking that we're crazy for pointing out the obvious concerns of experts, I don't know what to do for you. Here is Michael Yeadon, PhD. As I said, this is a very important part of Taylor's recent interview for The Last American Vagabond with Michael Yeadon, where he points out that in his expert opinion, all of these vaccines have the possible risk of blood clots.
All of the spike protein-based, gene-based vaccines, I think they all share I can only assume it was accidental, I think they all share a class risk effect. And that's because all of them are designed to go into your body, go into some cell somewhere, harness the cell's manufacturing machinery and make a piece of the pathogen, which is the spike, those things you see on the outside in the cartoons. But spike protein, we understand, is like a docking protein. This allows the virus to bind to a cell receptor on the outside of human cell. But it's not a passive binding protein. It's biologically active. It can prompt cells to stick together. It has so-called fusogenic properties. And it can also initiate blood coagulation. And so now, if you imagine a person received the vaccine, mRNA vaccine, it'll travel around their body and to deposit differently in each person, be it like a typical pattern.
Is this why people are getting blood clots post-vaccine?
I'm explaining, yes. So you would expect a normal bell curve, a distribution of where the vaccine goes. And some people, they may get little, very little will be picked up. Loads of people have the middling amount. But there'll be some people on the tail risk, the right-hand side. They might get a lot of the messenger might be picked up in a place where they're vulnerable, maybe in a blood vessel in their brain or in some branch point in their blood vessel. And now imagine you happen to be one of the unlucky people that took up a lot of that virus, the messenger RNA, and then yet again manufactured lots of spike protein in that spot because it'll be a normal distribution in every person. So if you're the outlier of the outlier, the one in a few thousand, you could end up producing a lot of spike protein in just the wrong place in your body. And if you happen to be susceptible to formation of a blood clot, given what I just told you about properties of spike protein, I would predict this is what you'd expect. And sure enough, they found in Europe, I think several dozen cases of healthy, fit women, quite young, 20 to 50, who have died of cerebral vein sinus thrombosis. And even the regulator has now said, we believe it is causatively associated.
Great clip. And I just want to comment in general. So Justin points out in the chat, this fraud is still pushing this BS that the virus exists. Is he lying or is he fooled? Either way, be cautious. Now, the staying cautious is absolutely right. But to call him a fraud and then question whether he believes it or not is doesn't make sense, Justin. Either he believes it and he thinks he's doing the right thing, or he's lying, which would make him a fraud. In any case, recognize those two things are very different, Justin. At the end of the day, if this person believes in what he's saying and he's fighting for you, I think it's acceptable to acknowledge that we differ on certain points, but he's still concerned about the safety of you. Or he could be lying and he's a big shill. Like, yes, be cautious. I disagree. I find him to be very credible, and I find him to be very important in this discussion. Do I agree with everything he says? No. Right? That's what an adult does, is show discernment and make sure we can stand back and look at all of it. It's like in the very beginning when somebody like Buttar or Mikovits came out and they said, oh, that guy did this 20 years ago and this blah, blah, blah. Sure. Are they relevant? Yes. But look at the facts and the data and what's happening. And maybe they say things that we disagree with. Right? This is the problem. I honestly think, and I'm not saying this is not a valid discussion. As you know, I've talked about this many times. I'm very interested in the concept of terrain theory. I've interviewed Dr. Kaufman twice. But it doesn't mean just because I interview someone intelligent that I suddenly just adopt all of their viewpoints. At the end of the day, I think what this terrain theory versus germ theory has become is like the Pentagon of the 9/11 discussion. It's okay to disagree, guys. Now, yes, there are some parts where this comes to point where you can realize that that may be the linchpin that is holding the lie together. And when that comes to pass, then yes, we can make that point. But right here on this discussion, because this person believes in germ theory, does not then invalidate all the important things that he's saying. We need to get past that. And I'm sorry, Justin, I'm not trying to call you out. This is an important point that needs to be made. We have to be better than them. We can't be so quick to dismiss and disparage and just ignore people because we're told one thing they said doesn't make sense, or because guy said that guy's a shill. Be smart enough to entertain even people you think are trying to lie to you. Listen to what they're saying and take from it what you can. That's important. Let's go to the next one.
Gene-based vaccines. I think all of these gene-based vaccines, I think they all have this kind of tail risk effect, because unlike a conventional vaccine where you get a defined dose and that's what you get, with the ones that encode something, you've got multiple properties. One is, how does it distribute?
So clearly you completely missed my point, Justin. So I'll continue.
How is it taken up? How efficiently is it copied? I just think that automatically widens the envelope of the biological responses. And if you happen to be one of the people on the far right-hand side, it gets a blood clot, it could kill you. And so that's where I think we've got to. And as a toxicologist, that was my first training, I would expect that to be a class effect. I wouldn't know whether it was worse or better with one messenger mRNA vaccine than another, but I would say they should qualitatively have similar effects. And so it's not enough to say, well, don't use the AstraZeneca one because of blood clots, use something else. I think if they all produce spike protein, I would think if you look properly instead of looking the other way, you'll see a similar spectrum of unwanted effects.
Which is what we're currently seeing between Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. right? But his point is, we'll see something similar with all of them.
So you mentioned...
I'll leave it there because I think that goes to another point. But in any case, it was a great interview. And I just want to reiterate that if you're willing to ignore all of the important things that were stated in this because he has a point that you disagree with, and that's just childish. At the end of the day, that's what it is. Because he can be wrong on that point. He can be lying on that point, and you can still use his other points to awaken people to the reality. To argue that you either have to blindly take everything that they're saying or ignore all of it shows you the polarized black and white world that you're still existing in. That is the problem. Don't be the problem. Now, here is the interview that I highly recommend all of you watch, regardless of your stance on that point and regardless of your stance on Michael himself. Again, I want to state very clearly that I think he's doing what he thinks is right. And I think it's an important interview that goes over some very powerful stuff that I have already witnessed changing people's minds on the side of, you know, what if that all of this is real and everything is, you know, most dangerous. We're all going to die. Masks are saving our lives and whatever. People that have heard this and going, okay, wait a minute. Right. And that's that is the importance of people like that. People that are in that middle place. Right. And this isn't, I mean, these people have had entire careers that have been invested in concepts that they may, I mean, I made this point the other day in regard to cannabis, let's say people that I have been an advocate, an activist for cannabis my whole life, because I hate this. One of the things that started my dive into this kind of work. And I would even point out that, you know, that I've done entire studies and shows and articles about how the idea that it affects your intelligence level, all these things have been completely overblown, if not completely made up. But then I will be out and I'll make a joke about munchies or something or you know, forgetful because of smoking. And I'll go, it's a joke, but you still state it because it's so ingrained in you that you just kind of make that joke about it. But it's not based in reality. It's a small point, but it's the same idea. People have that. Now, just the point is to give it that doubt, the benefit of the doubt in regard to any type of discussion before you then just jump to conclusions. I don't know why I even have to keep explaining this. I think it's pretty basic. But anyway, make sure you check this out because it was very well done. A lot of powerful information. But here's what we're seeing now with people reacting to this. And remember what he stated, that this clearly can create the same problem, you know, theoretically. Right. This is based on the science. Remember this guy, this Michael Yeadon, remember, he was the chief scientist for Pfizer and the VP. CNBC reports panicked patients call doctors as COVID vaccine hesitancy rises with J&J blood clot issue. That's how they report this. Right. Not that, oh, my gosh, we just found out that this does actually cause blood clots, despite us pushing it, despite us, you know, disparaging and dismissing and ignoring all the independent media that have been saying this for 6 months. No, we're going to report it as. People are afraid calling their doctors with vaccine hesitancy because of a real danger. That's the latter part of the title. It's just it's so plainly clear that what their job is. It's insulting. It's all about the vaccine hesitancy, even though there's a valid reason to have vaccine hesitancy. It's just these people don't even realize how ridiculous they are. And this is the point I was making earlier. And this is a doctor saying, without commenting on the complex trade-off of AstraZeneca, J&J vaccines, which I will soon, fact check. If you get COVID-19, the risk of blood clot is not 20%. Actually, you know what I just realized? In any case, this was the point I was making. I think I misread this. This part was what I was referring to. In any case, the point was just moments ago, all the same mainstream media experts. And this is what I want you to really think about. Weeks ago, you had all these people screaming that this was fake news, right? I was censored. Whitney was censored. People were censored for talking about blood clots, AstraZeneca, or Johnson & Johnson. Those same experts were screaming it was all fake while urging people to get the injection. And we just showed you. The WHO was saying, keep getting it. To get an injection that has now been fully suspended, AstraZeneca. Or excuse me, this one's Johnson & Johnson. In any case, both of them are suspended in Denmark, for instance. Now they say it's true, right? Now they go, oh, but yes, it does cause those blood clots we were saying weren't true and laughing at people for saying. But it's not that bad, though. Nope. I don't know why anybody would trust any of this. Why would you say, oh, well, they were wrong there and they wouldn't even entertain the facts that were in front of them. But now we're going to trust that they admitted what they were wrong about and they're only half-heartedly doing so. This is the mainstream media. This is what we're getting from the experts.
A common question, and I'm sure we'll have a number of questions which Jeff and I will be happy to answer to you, but one of the questions that comes up already rather frequently, does this have anything to do with the efficacy of the vaccine. So we know that there have been 6.85 million doses of J&J distributed in the United States thus far. So someone who maybe had it a month or two ago would say, what does this mean for me? It really doesn't mean anything. You're okay. Because if you look at the frame, the time frame, when this occurs, it's pretty tight from a few days, 6 to 13 days from the time of the vaccination. The next question is one that we're all obviously aware of. What impact is this going to have about people's attitudes about vaccines in general? So you might know that there have been now 120 million people, it really doesn't mean anything, that have received at least one dose of a vaccine. Most of that, subtract the 6.85 million, is in the messenger RNA from Pfizer and from Moderna. There have been no red flag signals from those. So you're talking about tens and tens and tens of millions of people who've received vaccine with no adverse effect. This is a really rare event. If you look at what we know so far, there have been 6 out of the 6.85 million doses, which is less than 1 in a million. So remember, this is something that we always, out of an abundance of caution, as Jeff said, to give us a time to take a good look at it and see if we can get further information.
Notice what I'll stop there. What he was almost going to say right there. We always do what, Fauci? We always pause in abundance of caution. Clearly you don't. You don't always do that because you didn't do it for AstraZeneca. You didn't do it for Moderna. You didn't do it for Pfizer. But you're only choosing to pick out 6 of something that's clearly more than that and make it what you want it to be. This is your anti-vaxxer hammer to be like, see, we're doing what you say we're not. And then everybody uses the one we want you to use, right? And the point of what he said, as you can see in the tweet, for people who've already had the vaccine, it really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything? Seriously? That is what this is what medical misinformation looks like, guys. It doesn't mean anything that you possibly could get a blood clot and die. All the doctors and scientists remaining silent on this should be ashamed of themselves. Of course it means something. Of course, you could argue that it is a lessened risk, but to pretend like it doesn't mean anything and don't even worry about it is sickening to me. This is what we're seeing across the board. Here is Trevor telling you that this is a bad thing because it will create vaccine hesitancy. We should just lie to people because I like vaccines and we're going to push that.
And don't forget, yes, you might have a 0.0001% chance of getting blood clots from this vaccine. But if you...
Well, guess what? That's more than children in regard to getting COVID-19. Who cares about that, though?
...get coronavirus, you can get lung damage, heart damage, neurological damage, strokes, seizures, Guillain-Barré syndrome, immune disorders, erectile dysfunction, and get this, also blood clots.
Or, Trevor, or all those things you just rattled off that have nothing to do with COVID-19 were all being caused by other things and attributed to COVID-19. You know, such as vaccine administration for an experimental injection, or, I don't know, all sorts of other treatments like covering your face with cloths that are moist and disgusting and cause infections, or all sorts of other things, lockdowns. And I mean, he's listing off things that are neurological, psychological. He's talking about things that are caused by vaccines and side, like they're not caused by getting a respiratory disease, if that's even what we're talking about. But you see, this is what's happened. Everything under the sun has become COVID-19. There's no flu. It doesn't even matter, right? So but he's listing off all these things they've attributed to it to make it sound like the things that are very clearly proven to be caused by this vaccine are just not as serious. Yeah, you could die from it over there, but guess what? You could die from COVID from things we haven't proven or connected to it. Gotta love that great journalism.
Honestly, if you ask me, I think it's actually impressive that Johnson & Johnson even made an effective vaccine with such a low chance of blood clots. I mean, Pfizer and...
Did you hear what he just said? I think it's amazing that they actually made a vaccine with such a low risk of blood clots. Right, because it's so common to have a higher risk of blood clots in other vaccines, right? God, this is just, this is shameless pandering.
Those are drug companies. Johnson & Johnson makes a baby shampoo.
Yeah, and they've also made stuff with, you know, what was it? The baby powder with... oh, crap. I can't remember what it was in it now. Dang, you guys all know this. I mean, all of them, all of these companies have been caught with scandals and lies. They're, you know, things, I was it asbestos, I think maybe in any case, they were guilty. They hid the fact that they had dangerous things in baby products, right? Pfizer, Moderna, Moderna hasn't had a viable product until now, but they're already their first one's not looking good in my opinion. But Pfizer, as we've shown, is guilty of lying about safety, lying about everything under the sun about vaccines, $4 billion of crimes. But let's just trust that they make baby stuff, so they're good, right? Trump likes them.
I'm surprised this shit works at all. But still, there is no question that this is a setback. I'm not going to deny. It's a setback for a country that is already dealing with a shit ton of vaccine hesitancy.
I apologize for the cursing, guys.
Because even if they look at the problem and they decide that the vaccine is safe, you best believe for a lot of people, the damage is already done.
Right. The damage meaning that they now have an actual understanding of their risks, and now, which is called informed consent. So now they might actually make a choice based on that full understanding, which, remember, isn't even the full understanding. There's an entire level of this antibody dependent enhancement, the polyethylene glycol and the possible anaphylactic shock and all these different things that they completely left out of. I mean, there's not even a semblance of informed consent right now. Right. But this is what Trevor wants you to think.
And they decide that the vaccine is safe. You best believe for a lot of people, the damage is already done.
Right. The damage being your choice to think for yourself. Can't have that.
I get it. I mean, imagine you're at a restaurant and the chef comes out and says, we need to pause eating to make sure your dinner's not going to give you diarrhea.
We would all be like, thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you for saving me from getting sick from this food, right? You'd be unhappy with the restaurant. You'd say, man, well, this sucks. I'm unhappy, right? But you would go, thank you, chef, for making sure I'm not going to die tonight. Great analogy, Trevor.
Even if he then says, never mind, your crab cakes are safe. By then, you've been thinking about diarrhea for 20 minutes.
So hey, you would have gotten up and left. Exactly, Trevor. Because you know what? That indicates that they're not doing their job properly. You're not doing a good job at this.
You're probably just going to have drinks. But look, while this is a small setback, the U.S. is still doing a really good job with its vaccine rollouts, which you have to admit is a little unexpected. I mean, given how America handled everything else about the pandemic, I wouldn't have been surprised if when vaccine time came around, America accidentally locked all 300 million doses in the trunk of the car. They melted. I didn't know it locked itself. In fact.
Right. And we trust these people. Like, you think of he's casually joking about how incompetent they are. But yeah, let's trust them with an experimental injection that's not fully investigated or tested. God, is this guy trying to make people not want to take this vaccine? Maybe he is.
One of the only countries that's doing just as well as the U.S. is Great Britain. And today, they're celebrating the results of that success.
We don't care. It's not success at all when you're aggressively coercing your people into doing what you want by manipulating their ability to see their family, by keeping them locked in their homes, by shutting down things they care about. You know, but yeah, they're doing great, Trevor. Keep up the good work over there at the great mainstream media. But here's Tucker Carlson. Again, pointing out what we should be saying. But I don't know one way or the other whether Tucker is doing what he believes is right or whether he is a mainstream media release valve to make us think that there are some people fighting for us, even though it never actually changes what they're going to accomplish and that Fox News will go on to do everything that everybody else does. Either way, credit where credit is due. And I think he nails it in this. Tucker Carlson, either the vaccines work or they don't. Exactly. This is on The Defender. Now, in the segment below, and this is from The Defender, on last night's Tucker Carlson Tonight, the Fox News commentator said there are two things the public wants to know about COVID vaccines. Now, recognize here clearly, he's mainstream media, right? On one of the largest platforms, outlets in mainstream media. So you cannot pretend he is some fringe conspiracy theorist, despite what some factions are already trying to do. Oh, Tucker, he's a conspiracy theorist. What does that even mean? It means anybody that says what you disagree with is now a conspiracy theorist, which means you can pretend you don't have to care about the facts they're presenting, which means you're a child and you're ignoring the data because you want to be correct. Saying anything is a conspiracy theory and acting like that wins the argument makes you an ignorant person, period. Like, there's no way today that conspiracy theory should even be used in an honest sentence unless you're literally talking about people who are actually involved in a conspiracy theory, because that is a real thing. They're theorizing, they're conspiring. This is the whole point. Governments and powerful people regularly gather together and discuss how they can better their situation at the expense of other people. That's what powerful people do. But to pretend like that's fake news is what the media is there for. He says, quote, and neither has anything to do with how many professionals. I love this point. He says, Fox News commentator said there are two things the public wants to know about the COVID vaccine, and neither has anything to do with how many professional athletes or Netflix stars have been vaccinated. Well said, because this is the facade of what they're doing. This is reliable sources, Mr. Brian over there talking about why hasn't Fox and their anchors showed their selfies? Well, because it doesn't matter, Brian, whether or not you've been vaccinated, because you're just a person. You don't care. You're not special. And this is the idea. They think they are. They think that, well, the stars did it. Shouldn't we? That's how they think we think. They think we're that dumb. And some people are, but not most of us. If stars and Netflix and athletes are getting vaccinated, that's their choice. But they're trying to manipulate and coerce you. Carlson said the public was assured the vaccines are safe and that the risks were so small we could ignore them completely. In fact, we were told that the clinical trials revealed, quote, no evidence at all that the vaccines could cause any life-threatening injuries. I mean, we're literally talking about someone who just died. So that's ridiculous. But see, this is how even currently in the midst of admitting what we had been saying, that they're still pretending like it's not there. This is insane. Obviously, there's evidence. There's tens of thousands of reports that they're just dismissing while picking six and going, those ones matter. But after Tuesday's decision by federal health officials to shut down the Johnson & Johnson vaccine rollout because six people experienced blood clots, including one who died, he had a lot of questions. And those questions aren't being answered by federal health officials who are sending a lot of mixed messages these days. What about the question of effectiveness, he asked. After being told that everyone must get the vaccine, the rollout is, quote, more important than the moonshot, health officials are telling people, even if they're fully vaccinated. They must avoid crowds and wear masks, right? Because that makes sense. Quote, that's not what we expected at all, except that is what we expected because we've been screaming that was always going to happen. And Carlson knows that because he's heard what we're saying. They all hear what we're saying. They just don't talk about it until they're supposed to. That's why I see things like this and act like that's not what we expected. We expected everyone to go back to normal. No, you didn't. Even you didn't say that, Tucker. So I don't understand that statement. It makes me question the honesty here, but let's keep going. If the vaccines work, why are the vaccinated still banned from living normal lives? Exactly. It's, quote, legitimate public health mystery, Carlson said, adding, quote, either it works or it doesn't, but it can't be simultaneously highly effective and at the same time not restore people's lives to normal. We've been saying this for months. As for journalists asking these questions on behalf of the public, forget it, Carlson said, quote, journalists have decided their job is to enforce the regime's rules, no matter how often those rules change. Well, that's an inaccurate statement. That's actually completely false. Because journalists include people like Whitney Webb, like Derek Brose, like Robert Inlakesh. They clearly don't think that. So to make that statement suggests that only people in the mainstream media are journalists. Let's not pretend like those undermining statements are not made on purpose. Well, maybe you believe he's fighting for you. Maybe he is. Maybe I'm wrong. In any sense, realize that the mainstream media does absolutely think its job is to enforce the regime's rules. There are plenty more actual journalists in the world. In fact, there are not any journalists at all, in my opinion, in the mainstream media, by and large. I should take that back. There's probably at least a couple that I could point out that I think are doing good work. Maybe all of them have left by now, but who knows? But this is true. He's accurate. What Tucker is saying is correct. You can't have both. And what's so insulting is that this is a very, very basic, fundamentally basic statement. Obviously, you can't have them both simultaneously. It can't be completely efficacious, and you can't get anything back if you take it. Those don't make sense together. But you see, we have been screaming it this whole time, and they just laugh at you. They say you're crazy in the elitist circles, which we shouldn't really care about. We have to see this illusion. Think about this. Funny how we were raised to not be peer pressured into taking experimental drugs. And now we're being peer pressured into taking experimental drugs. Isn't that funny? Kind of alarmingly funny, right? But it's pretty perfectly exact, right? That's our whole growing. No, you don't take those drugs. Don't experiment with drugs. That's dangerous. But now, because we want you to do it, maybe we want you to take this experimental drug. I just find that pretty hilarious. Let me close some of these real quick. Make sure I got all my, oops, still more. One of those days where I got lots of tabs open, I'm sure you can tell. There we go. Well, maybe not. You guys can see the tabs. It's probably funny. I know I've got a reputation for having all these tabs up. Okay, going forward, a lot to talk about today. More women are dead from AstraZeneca blood clots in Italy, according to Dr. Naomi Wolf, April 13th. All right, so are those included? Right? Are those included in the discussion? Oh, only Johnson & Johnson, right? Fauci, only the six from Johnson & Johnson. Those are the only ones we're ever going to talk about and the only ones we're ever going to care about. Who cares about the people that are still dying from blood clots, right? Because this is just meant to put this discussion to bed. Here is a discussion in from Israel. Hospital blamed over woman's death from heart inflammation after vaccination. This is a really important one, and I'm desperately hoping that they didn't change the article because I had it all highlighted and it seemed to update, because there's two very important things that they let slip in this article. The family of young Israeli woman who died of a heart inflammation. Here, let me get this going so we can see what I want to highlight. Who died of heart inflammation. Very important. Systemic inflammation. I mean, there's just, we've been talking about this, whether being caused by masks or by the vaccine, or this is a constant that we're seeing in all these cases. Died of heart inflammation after being vaccinated against COVID-19, has blamed the hospital where she was treated for her death. Her family has. Excuse me, 22 years old. Cheryl, I believe, received her second vaccine dose 2 weeks ago. Her sister told Channel 13 News in a segment aired Thursday. She later reported feeling unwell and she was experiencing muscle pain. I told her, take a painkiller. No help. Tomorrow, go to the doctor. That's some terrible advice, but so be it. This is the kind of thing you get in a world where everything is based on oil-based pharmaceuticals that hurt your body, and we call that medicine. However, Halil's condition worsened and she began to have difficulty breathing and pains in her chest. So again, we're talking days after a vaccine here. Or well, this is exactly, where was it? Yeah, so Thursday evening, she later reported, so we're talking days later, right? So this is the kind of painful thing. Like, they're trying to tell you, don't make this connection. Don't continue to see people get vaccinated and then that day feel sick and the next day get bedridden and then 2 days later die and pretend like, well, we don't know for sure. Of course, that is a fair statement, but realize that we have to then, like, this is what keeps happening is they go, we don't know for sure. We look into it. We can't prove a connection. And so we pretend it's not. That's not how that's supposed to go. If we don't know, it's still possibly caused by the vaccine. They do the literal opposite with COVID-19. And we're going to get into that today, too. The idea that anything, anywhere, even in proximity to anybody who possibly died from COVID, is well a COVID death, too, just to be safe, just in case. Right? It's just so painfully obvious. Her condition worsened. She began to have difficulty breathing and pains in her chest. It's immediately clear that it's the vaccine. And spoiler alert, that's what they say it is. That's what the doctors say it is. At the hospital, Hilio was diagnosed with myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, which her boyfriend said the doctor compared to a swollen shoulder. She said, oh, I say, okay, 3-4 days or a week, I'll be with her as much as needed. According to the network, there have been other cases of myocarditis among Israelis who received both vaccine shots. Oops. But all had been successfully treated, though, including patients in more serious condition than her. So they've seen this. It's already been a common thing. Right? We've already seen other cases where people got their vaccines. They had this thing happen, but we dealt with it. But she unfortunately died. So it's very clear that we can acknowledge that there's a correlation here that they're seeing, and the doctors are admitting that there is a tie to the vaccine. Hillel was eventually taken to the cardiac care unit where her family asserted, this gets bad, she was not sufficiently watched over. Now, why would that be? One, because we've already established that in all of these locations, the UK, the United States, they have the heroes here are more concerned about themselves getting sick. So they're taking aggressive action that keeps themselves, and they're even arguing that that is because what their job is so important to keep everybody alive that we have to make sure we're sure. No, that's being afraid of what your job is. That's like a fireman saying, I'm going to hang back, guys, because that fire looks bad. But, you know, I got to keep alive in case this keeps getting worse. That's not how that goes. You guys are making, not everybody, but the ones we've already talked about, especially in the UK, we've seen making choices that put them more at risk to keep themselves safe. So here we are. She goes in the hospital. They already know there's a connection here, possibly with the vaccine. She gets put in this area and they don't watch over her properly. I looked at the monitor. I saw the breaths. The monitor was beeping and no one approached. 2 days later, she said her sister collapsed. Quote, I got ready so quickly and said, I'll go up to the hospital and see what I can save. 5 minutes later, they called to say she died. Days, right? course, that's totally normal in the world of COVID-19 to just be, you know, that happens. Happens all the time, apparently. She just deteriorated before their eyes and no one, just no one, even lifted a hand and said she isn't receiving care. They apparently just let her die. A lawyer for the family intends to take legal action against the hospital. Quite the heroes, huh? Civ Medical Center, meanwhile, said Helial received similar treatment to other patients who had recovered within days. Quote, on the last day of hospitalization, deterioration in her situation began. Persistent heart rhythm disturbances developed that didn't respond to care, and after continued resuscitation, she was pronounced dead. We share in the sorrow of the family. Maybe it's because she's suffering from something you guys don't care to understand. Maybe because if you just treat it like what the surface level examples are, like heart swelling, that you won't actually treat what the cause of the problem is. But until we acknowledge that this is being caused by a vaccine, we're going to continue to not be able to treat it properly. This is what happens when you live in a world that has created an air of dismissal around anything that even suggests that this vaccine could be dangerous. Heroes all across the board, right? And I can't stop pointing out the fact that it's funny how they're all heroes and dancing videos everywhere until suddenly most of them don't want the vaccine and they just stop being heroes. So were they always heroes? Did they just stop being heroes because of something specific, or were they never heroes? Fill me in, mainstream media, because one of them has to be the case. Or did you stop calling them heroes because you don't like what they did? So it wasn't really about actions at all. It was about narrative, which is always the point. Now, this I saw right before I went live. I haven't been able to confirm this, but I want to throw it in there. It's definitely real, just whether or not what she actually collapsed from. I figure we can show this. We could look through the tweet for a second, but she shares, what is this? Confirm. This is Freedom Israel. The head of Denmark's... I've seen something from this person before. I want to check that out later. The head of Denmark's medicines agency. That's the person who fell. Tanja Eriksson collapsed during a press conference on the decision to stop using AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. Dude, that's a hard fall. This is now just accepted as normal. It's not normal. Has she been vaccinated? It's a good question. But what he's saying is this kind of thing has just become normal. People collapsing, people having, you know, like, and the guys, this is not the, this is not COVID-19. This is, if this is what we're talking about, and it's an if, because I'm just, in my mind, I'm talking about Tiffany Dover or these different examples of the past where this is because of the vaccine, not because of COVID-19. And this is not normal. We're seeing obscenely high adverse events and they continue to act like that's a good sign. That's disgusting. It's deceptive and it's dangerous. That's medical misinformation. Let's see. I'm just kind of scrolling through the chat for those on the podcast to see if anybody has any comments. Oops. Reportedly regained consciousness and was taken to the hospital for further treatment. Eriksson has recovered from the fainting episode, according to numerous reports. Not seeing anybody with any certainty pointing anything out, even not even to say that that would be legitimate anyway. But I'll follow up on this and see what happened. But remember, if she got the vaccine with any reasonable time frame here, they probably will hide that fact and they won't report it because we don't know for sure. But if she had just taken drugs beforehand, which probably would make sense to make her pass out, we don't know that for sure either. But I can guarantee you that they would report that if they found out. So why would you not report the vaccine to them? Seems relevant. Well, because they have an agenda to make sure they don't report anything, no matter what, that would cause vaccine hesitancy, even if it's true. Don't you love that? Whew, man, that's rough. Okay, so last thing on this one point before I jump over to something else is I wanted to make sure you guys saw this. I'm going to go through this in more depth, but this is a really powerful compilation from the frontline workers. It's called Frontline Workers Testimony and Bayer's Reports, but it goes over some really important information. First of all, just recognizing, and this is something I want to reiterate, as the article asks, did you know that 19 volunteers in the trials died? You probably didn't know that, right? As we're all acting like nobody could possibly die while getting it because that's fake news, 19 volunteers died in the trials, right? But we just won't talk about that, right? But the point is you can go forward and look at all of these examples. All these people in the trials died. Most of these people would have survived COVID based on published survival statistics, meaning the people that possibly died from the test probably would have survived COVID based on the data that we already have. Isn't that interesting? We've seen a lot of these. We've talked about this Utah woman. We've talked about most of these here. We've talked about this 28-year-old mother who had a stroke 5 days after the vaccine and they wouldn't talk about it. Here's the one I just discussed from Israel. I mean, guys, these are, the point is, I'm going to go, here's the doctor we talked about. Remember, all these were dismissed and said, no, fake news, not possible, despite now very clearly becoming a valid discussion point. And they always were, by the way. But just take a quick peek at this, and I'm going to come back to revisit this. Just look. If you listen to the podcast, it is obscene how many people died, lost family. Of course. Of course. You know what? This doesn't surprise me at all. What I'm looking at right now is the fact that this is suddenly just not coming up for the podcast. It says, couldn't preview the file. There was a problem loading the page. Shocker. Because the rest of this, which goes on and on and on and on and on, are all people who died after taking this vaccine or one of the experimental injections. Now, I am probably going to circle back to this, but I want to include it. I don't want to just hold this off until I covered it. This is a good resource. Everyone should have access to it. Take a look at it. Review it. Make sure you show people this so you understand what's really going on. Dr. Naomi Wolf points out, there's RE COVID vaccines. So far, 502 heart attacks, 84 miscarriages, 3,145 severe allergic reactions, low platelets, thrombocytopenia, which people have already died from, 321. Plenty more. As James Lyons Weiler points out, pathogenic priming. Exactly what he warned these people about. Now I have to do this because these stupid mainstream media platforms will start playing if I...
I signed up for a Johnson & Johnson vaccination this morning.
That's what you're hearing.
And now that I'm hearing that there's going to be a pause on that, I'm wondering... God.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, ABC. Play the video in the article below the one I'm looking at. Gosh darn it. You know, the reason they do this, guys, is because of clicks and numbers and data. And the mainstream media are the clickbait BS today. That's what they are. You don't even find independent media that have pop-up videos and nonsense things like this anymore. They're desperate. Anyway, that's why I had to have it on the other page. That's why I had it here, because it'll start playing randomly as we start. It'll probably do it again here now, and I did this. Don't start. It'll start watch no matter what at some point. Anyway, article reads, verify. This is incredible. The VAERS database alone isn't evidence that COVID vaccines are causing deaths and miscarriages. Right. So the master list of the official location, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, that's what VAERS stands for, is not enough. Okay, so what else do we add to that? Oh, expert statements, authority. Right. So the point is, we don't know and we just have to trust what they tell us. But don't listen to that master list of all the reported information that we created so we could track these things, because you're not smart enough and they're all fake news. That's what this is meant to be dismissed. It says you can't draw any conclusions by looking at VAERS. Johns Hopkins says, of course they do. Of course you can draw conclusions. The point is that you have to factor in that some of them could be wrong, some of them could be misstated, some of them could be lies. That's always been the case. Why did they say, the point is that this is still used during the flu. The argument that it's suddenly not valid for the massive psychological operation makes perfect sense. Yes, you can draw conclusions, but you have to be intelligent enough to factor in the facts. But they won't let anybody even have that opportunity because they just pretend like we're all too stupid to think, which is a lie. It's wrong. You're all far smarter than they give any of us credit for. So if you actually take a look at the VAERS system and realize, wait a minute, there's tens of thousands of reports here of things that they're acting like aren't happening. Sure, some of them could be lies, but some of them have to be real. Are they really suggesting that all of them are fake? Well, that seems to be what they're doing. Nah, just don't even look at it, right? If all we're talking about is only 6 cases of blood clots with tens of thousands of reports, are you really pretending that every single one of those are fake? Well, they won't state that, but that's what they're insinuating. For more than 30 years, the CDC and FDA have leveraged a powerful tool called the Vaccine Adverse Reporting System. Well, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Well, that's just dumb. They just left out one of the letters. Gotta love mainstream media. Since 1990, the system has been used to help record potential side effects. Now, yes, there are minor places. There are other places you can go, but this is the place. This is where you'd be directed if you had an event. So to pretend like it's just one small side list is an obvious misrepresentation. That is why Harvard and the HHS chose to investigate this exact topic, because it matters. Healthcare, don't you love this? For licensed vaccines in the United States. Maybe that's how they're sidestepping this, because it's definitely not approved. Healthcare professionals and vaccine manufacturers are required to report what's called adverse events. Yeah, we're all well aware of what they are today, but it's available to everyone. Recently, some people online are posting about all sorts of these events that are being reported, including deaths and miscarriages being linked to COVID-19 vaccines, because that's what's being reported, right? Someone has a vaccine, and that same day they have a miscarriage. Okay. And the doctor says, well, we don't see any other, what else did you do? Nothing. There's no other example. This is not okay. Well, it's obvious the vaccine caused this. This is being reported. Our Verify researchers, this is the group, this is the outlet Verify, researchers looked into what the VAERS system is designed to do, right? So we went right past the reports. We don't even care about reports. We just looked into what the narrative is. What are we supposed to say about this system? And what did the government tell us? That's what that is. And what, if any, conclusions the public can draw on the narrative that they're telling us to say. Okay. They say, what is the VAERS database and what can it tell us? Answer, VAERS is a publicly accessible reporting and monitoring system that cooperated by the CDC and FDA. It's designed to help researchers evaluate reports of side effects and detect early patterns of new, usual, and exactly. Okay, so I don't get the disconnect here. ABC or whatever the mainstream media outlet this is, that's what this is designed for, but yet you're telling us we shouldn't look at it and consider the possibility of we shouldn't compare the information and come to conclusions. But that's literally what you just said it's made for. I see, so we're just not smart enough. Are you somehow able to suss out everything that's not true versus what is? No, you're just choosing to apply anything you don't want to be true as fake. That's what this is. It's dismissive and disgusting, and it's hurting people. That is medical misinformation. Lockstep again. Canada starting the same vaccine is not enough nonsense like Boris in the UK. They just don't want to give up lockdowns, Ivor Cummings points out, and I agree. Trudeau now saying that this vaccine is not enough. We're going to have to keep doing this forever, right? This is what we've always told you. This will be forever. And as Orwell Huxley points out, who didn't see this coming? Keep lining up for the global experiment. Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines offer protection against COVID for 6 months. Booster shots will likely be needed. Not likely, I'm telling you. We're going to give you booster shots. That's the future. Every 6 months, every 3 months, whatever we need, we're going to keep giving you. And your vaccine passport will be fresh. You have to come back and get a new one. That's what this will be. Here's the CEO of Pfizer.
I think ideally we should be able to have annual revaccinations, either with the standard vaccine, and that annual revaccination with one single dose will create enough immune responses so to overcome the resistance of all variants. Or this annual revaccination will be, if needed, with a variation of the vaccine, as we do with flu. I think that will be the ideal. We are discussing with a lot of experts, and of course we have a lot of experts in our company. And
I'm sure it's a language barrier, but I just we'll call it a company, or totalitarian dictator. You know, it's like, it's just funny that, you know, it seems to suggest that it's like more than a company. I'm sure it's just a barrier of language, but I think that's funny.
We believe that the third dose at 6 months of the first, which is what we're going to try right now, will raise the antibody response to 10 to 20 folds what it is right now. That will be significant response to likely overcome all this resistance.
So he's guessing. He's saying, we think that's what's going to happen in the future. How well have they guessed so far, right?
Of what we know so far. Also, I want to emphasize, Lester, that this is a two-dose vaccine for the initial initiation of the schedule. It's supposed to be an annual single-dose revaccination following that. The 6 months will be one dose at 6 months just to create enough immune responses. It's not the idea that every 6 months we will have to get vaccinated, although this is something that the studies will prove eventually. I think and I hope that the best possible scenario right now would look that we will need to have annual revaccinations, either with the same, just to increase the immune responses levels, or with a new variant. I don't think that we will have to go to a 6 months annual, every 6 months vaccinations.
Right. So just every year. No, no 6 months. All those conspiracy theorists, it won't be 6 months, just every year. Right. So every single, so think about it like this. If they're telling you that this is so dangerous, you need to lock down because it's present. Doesn't that seem to just the reason that when the next one comes, until the vaccine gets used and everyone gets their stamped, then we'll continue to lock down? Well, yes, that's a no brainer. If it's dangerous now, the variants are more dangerous. And oh, the new one and the new thing, or even just the same thing. If it's the same thing and it's just as dangerous, if you need to get a new vaccine because your antibodies run out, then we'll lock down again. I mean, you know, this is where it is. There's no way to misunderstand that this will be the biosecurity state going forward. Then they're going to tell you you're about to get sick based on the new implantables or the new devices on the street corners. That is all coming. And this isn't secret stuff. This is what DARPA and your government has been working on long before COVID-19. We've proven to you, we've shown you the documentation, we've shown you directly from government websites, and that's why we get censored. It's been a plan for quite a long time. Well, they're also telling you, guess what? That the third wave, right, the one that they somehow already know is coming because they just have always known that the new one's going to come right around tomorrow, will be all the vaccinated people. Yeah, that's not a joke. This is the Telegraph telling you that the people in the next wave are going to be all the people that got two vaccines. You think I'm kidding? Let's go through it. Why the model's warning of a third UK COVID wave are flawed. Hopes that life may soon be back to normal were dashed by Boris Johnson this week when he indicated that restrictions would remain in place to prevent a deadly third wave, right? A wave that we haven't seen happening yet, but it might come. So we're going to keep you in this position, right? Continuing to prove us right. That not because, well, dangerous now, but it will be coming. There will always be something that will be coming. So you will always be stuck in this position where they're going to say, well, the variant thing, we're going to investigate the variant. And until that's done, we're going to keep a lockdown. And the next one will come. We heard about a variant over there, so we're going to keep it on lockdown. Oh, now we're back in COVID season again. We're back on lockdown. This is the future. And the fact that they can just do this any time they want is the whole point. Life was never going back to normal anyway. That was the whole point, guys. Even if you get the vaccine, that's not normal anyway. You still got to distance. You still got to wear a mask. Everything is the same because it doesn't stop transmission. You can still catch it. And you can still spread it. So what in the world are we talking about? This is an illusion that's been carefully put together. Predictably, it says, the announcement relied on unduly pessimistic modeling, which suggested a full release from lockdown in June could trigger a new wave of hospital admissions, every bit as bad as the January peak, and resulted in up to 59,000 deaths, they say, which we know, as a matter of fact, is not the accurate number, based on PCR false positives, based on the combination of pneumonia and influenza, based on the death being given to people, based on the association of COVID-19, with all sorts of other things. It's a guarantee that it's less than that. Look more closely at the modeling from, guess who? Imperial College. That's not a joke, guys. So not only was Neil Ferguson and Imperial College catastrophically wrong about COVID-19, as well as about five very important things they modeled before COVID-19 came around. Imagine that. They're wrong catastrophically time and time and time again, and then you lean into them right when you need, guess what? Another psychological operation, right? That's not, you don't, this person like this does not continue to be used if they're constantly wrong, unless their job is to be wrong in exactly the right ways. Now, here we are again. Now, they were wrong about 3.6% in the beginning of all this. Nobody cared. We just moved the goalpost. And then they use them again with the new variants. And they say, and NervTag, the group they put together, said, well, we don't think this is more dangerous at all. All the information doesn't point to that. And ignored the entire group, and they listened to Neil Ferguson, who, guess what, was wrong again. At the WHO came out and said, no, it's not more dangerous, not more transmissible, but they used him to shut down UK again. And now here we are, wrong after being wrong so many times in a row, that they're using the Imperial College again to argue that we're in the third wave is coming, we have to continue to stay locked down. What do you know? What a shocker. Why are you guys in the UK even allowing this group to be involved anymore? It soon becomes clear how such dire forecasts have emerged. Much of the data is needlessly negative and often out of date. But let's keep using them, though. Good. We'll use them to keep people scared and to drive the narrative, even though we know they're wrong and even the media can report they're always wrong. This is what clown world looks like. Under immunity, one striking problem with the Imperial model is that it has underestimated the number of people protected from coronavirus. This is ridiculous because what they're basically saying is they've underestimated the number of people who already have protection. But we're talking about something that doesn't stop or create herd immunity, that it can still be transmitted. You can still catch it. You can still spread it. So this is a very weird counterintuitive argument. Now, there were points in here about the idea of, I've left it unhighlighted for a reason. Now, risk among the vaccinated. There is an extraordinary paragraph buried in the summary of modeling submitted to SAGE by the Scientific Pandemic Influenza Group on modeling, which discusses who will die in a third wave. Now, to be very clear, I already see this being misrepresented by people as current statement. What this statement is pulled from, at least according to the Telegraph, is modeling about a hypothetical third wave. So make sure you understand that. So what they're saying in their modeling, theorizing about that hypothetical third wave is, quote, the resurgence in that hypothetical third wave in both hospitalizations and deaths is dominated by those that have received two doses of the vaccine, comprising around 60% and 70% of the wave, respectively. This can be attributed to the high levels of uptake in the most at-risk age groups. Dang it, hold on. Right? So they're telling you flat out right there that in their modeling, again, arguably not from a group that's been continuously wrong, but it does. It just is the point. It's the mainstream. This is the very group they argue that we should be listening to, even though that's comically incorrect, but they would say that. All right. So they're telling you that in their modeling that in the resurgence in the third wave will be dominated by those that have received two doses of the vaccine. That's not a mistake. Says right down here, yes, you did read that correctly. Third wave deaths will predominantly be driven by people who have been vaccinated. What do you know about that? The reasoning is that around 10% of the vaccinated over 50s will not be protected by the vaccine, which, by the way, none of them will because it doesn't stop transmission, based on around 90% efficacy, equating to about 2.9 million people. Okay, so why exactly are the people who aren't getting vaccinated not driving the issue? I mean, this doesn't seem to make sense whatsoever. But in any case, what they're telling you is that this will not protect you. But you already knew that if you're watching this show, that this is something that they're testing on people, that you are the experiment to gauge and suss the information out. Clearly, the death rate in the first and second waves was kept down by restrictions, it says. Yeah, clearly. Don't you love? This is the kind of thing that mainstream does. They take the mainstream decided facts and then state them as fact and move forward. Like they use that as a starting point. Well, because we clearly know that restricted lockdown saved lives, so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, no, that's just not true. The restrictions have been categorically shown to increase the risk. I mean, you look at the correlations between mask usage right now and places that have the highest issue. Look at the correlations when lockdowns were initiated and the spikes in the issue. This is the point. And it's everywhere. The only people not pointing that out are people who are dishonestly ignoring the facts. Now it says Imperial College has also ignored the fact that vaccines substantially reduce transmission. Not true. AstraZeneca by 67, Pfizer by 75. No, they lessen symptoms. This is the point. They've made that clear. To pretend like lessening symptoms stops transmission in any way is ridiculous, right? This is the fallacy of viral load in regard to how much can be spread by mass and so on. But in this case, we're talking about lessening symptoms. The argument would be that lessens how much, I guess, transmissibility you have. In any sense, we know that one small piece can spread and make people get sick. That is the point. So we know that it does not stop transmission. That is a statement from their own companies. Worth bearing in mind that a substantial portion of these unvaccinated people will already have immunity from a prior infection, or at least some natural immunity from other coronaviruses. Okay? Do you realize what they just said right there? It's worth bearing in mind that a substantial portion of unvaccinated people will already have immunity. Okay, so if the vast majority, let's just use their terminology, if a substantial proportion of people who aren't vaccinated already have immunity from a prior infection, which the NIH has stated is lasting, more so than the vaccine, by the way, and I showed you this in previous shows, one, why do unvaccinated people need to get vaccinated? And two, doesn't that then show you why the vaccinated are the ones spreading it? I mean, this is pretty crazy admission. If this is in every way showing you that the vaccine is one, seemingly irrelevant in regard to the actual risk and the fact that you already probably have immunity, and two, that getting the vaccine seems to suggest in a lot of ways, looking at Israel's data or plenty of places, that there's something happening after that under effectiveness. The modelers have updated some of their effectiveness data since they were heavily criticized for being too pessimistic in their assessment. Can we really reflect on what that statement says? The modelers, right? So people who are supposed to be taking facts and data, taking the data out and coming to conclusions about it, not because they're pressured, not because they're poked and prodded and influenced by politics and people criticizing them. No, because it's about what actually represents the data. But what they're telling you right there, well, they updated their effectiveness data because people were criticizing them. Okay, so it had nothing to do with Fauci. Well, they just updated because they didn't like the people who were making fun of them. So they changed their outcome. Clearly, we can see why Imperial College does such great work. Yet many of the assumptions are still wide of the mark when compared to real-world data. Again, we have a year plus of real-world data about what was going on, and all they can do is ask people who constantly get it wrong to model for them. Why? Because they model the way they want them to. The real world data is what should be used. And because you know why they're not using that? Because it shows you what we are saying. They know that. They don't want you to know that. Pretty crazy. Oh, this was that. I just want to, that's from up from earlier. Now, this is one of the last points before we jump over to the vaccine passports. So that this is Disclosed TV telling you, on top of everything else we already know, 40% of Marines, just specifically Marines, are declining COVID-19 vaccines. So I said, so that's 60% of healthcare workers. That's been reported. 33% of the military in general. That's been reported. Now 40% of all Marines in general, specifically, outright refusing their experimental injection. This, guys, is the illusion of the majority breaking down in front of you. I know a lot of people just have a hard time recognizing that, but there's so many examples like this that show you 60% of healthcare workers, these were the very people they were calling their own heroes in the beginning, and they 60% say no. We need to recognize that they are constantly trying to cultivate the illusion of that majority. Maybe it's not the majority in every single talking point, but in some ways, especially this, we need to see that we are not alone. Now, vaccine passports are the logical conclusion, and that's whether we're talking about the government doing it or them just pressuring and, you know, using financial and social coercion to make you do it, to make sure that you can't live your life without it, and justifying that in the news. Here is Bridgestone creating two classes of employees, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and it's exactly what you might expect, right? They are creating a scenario where their employees are It's an apartheid. That's what this is. You are creating a situation where by simply making your own opinion, by choosing your own medical future, that you are now lesser than, that you have less access to things that otherwise, I mean, Israel's government made this very clear in their own country. But in the interest of time, I'll go through some of the briefer points here. One model the U.S. could look to, according to Healthcare Insider, is Israel. Of course, who didn't see that coming? Which has led the world both in terms of vaccinating its population and introducing a vaccine passport scheme. Great choice of word. I would agree. This is what they keep selling you as, but the reality is a little different. There's a lot of people in Israel that are, even people that previously were pro-Israeli government, pro-Netanyahu, are very unhappy because they are now in a medical apartheid regime. And that they're screaming, this is all working, but the data seems to show something quite different. Here's what their scheme can tell us about how vaccine passport systems might work in the U.S. All right, exactly like they're making there, which I've already shown you, an apartheid medical dictatorship. So it commences. First ever law to be introduced in Ireland, creating two-tier system of freedom depending on vaccination status. Remember when this was a fake news conspiracy theory? This is happening all around the world. Those of you who went along silently for the past 12 months have facilitated this. Welcome to complete tyranny. She's right. Statutory instruments related to COVID-19 pandemic. This is your vaccine passport. It's all happening, guys. It's happening all around the world. Here's a really disgusting example. And whether this was actually even the case or not, whether it was fear-mongering, which I'll get into, it is still the point. As Michael points out, cruise ships are now evacuating people from the island. It's St. Vincent Island, but there was another name I was trying to remember right there. In any case, the point was the volcano erupted, which we saw, it was reported, and they would only evacuate, they claimed anyway, people who were already vaccinated. Nearly 20,000 people have been forced out of their homes on the Caribbean island of St. Vincent after a volcano erupted there for the first time in more than 40 years. Cruise ships are now, and this is reported from CBS, cruise ships are now evacuating people from the island, but only those vaccinated from COVID-19. All right, so something that does not stop transmission, you can still catch it, you can still spread it, and you still have to do everything else the same. Explain for me why it's more risk for someone to be on there. Right? If those same vaccinated people can still spread it just like someone who's not vaccinated, what's the difference? Nobody's tried to explain this at all. I mean, the only person at risk, arguably, is the person in their narrative, is the person without the vaccine. So what's the point? What is the issue here? It's about compliance. As this person points out, looks more like propaganda, mainstream media fakery to get people to comply. And what they're pointing out here is that a lot of people have made this point. I didn't see this. We'll look at this next. Is that it doesn't, it seems like there's not a real strong vaccination program even happening there. So the argument would be that then that would mean that the vast majority of people wouldn't even be let on to be evacuated. What I said was, wow, so you are left to die if you have not taken the experimental injection. Anyone confused about what this clearly demonstrates? Right? You're lesser than. You do not get to live and have a chance to survive. I mean, this is a big deal. It's a huge volcano eruption that will trickle down ash. And look at the picture right there. This is what they're dealing with, right? This is what they were left to if they weren't vaccinated. An ash-ridden, crazy hellscape volcano scenario, which you've already seen. The whole island. But we'll force you to remain there and possibly die because you didn't take this experimental injection. That is staggeringly crazy. Let's look at this. 11,000 have been administered. 11,000. I wonder how many, let's see. Let's do this. Actually, apologies for 1 second doing this live. Oops, dang it. Let's see. Population. Okay, so out of 110,000 people, they want you to believe that they were only even willing to evacuate 11,000 people. That's it. That's all they have vaccinated as of April 9th. And they really want you to believe that they were going to leave that many people to die because they weren't vaccinated. But what people are saying is, well, that's just fake news, right? They're saying that to scare people into getting the vaccine, which is obviously important. Looks like more propaganda to get you to faith. This goes back to the original point. They're lying to you to scare you into getting something that is not approved, that hasn't been fully investigated, that is currently being tested on people in real world scenarios that are causing blood clots and all kinds of adverse events. Think about how sinister that is. Here's the Jerusalem Post. St. Vincent volcano. Only those evacuated for COVID-19 can evacuate or vaccinated. Right? This was reported all over the place. So either they were really willing to kill 100,000 people or they just simply lied to you to scare you. Either one makes just as much sense to me that they would be completely capable of. The real question is why you listen to them at all. Here's Jason Burmes pointing out that Burger King is picking up that mantle and saying, we're not going to let you buy our products unless you have this experimental injection. As he's saying, it looks like I've had my last Whopper. I don't know. I don't know anybody would be eating this stuff anymore. It's just like the last thing in the world that anybody should be eating. Fast food is terrible. But it says, dear dine-in guests, please be informed that under the current public orders effective immediately, we require each guest to provide photo ID to verify same household address before dining in the same table. Think about how crazy that is, right? This is technocratic control. That's what this is. I just can't even believe that. Dr. Simon pointing this out, and this is exactly what I was just saying. This is a PhD in biotech stating, we'll most likely require a vaccine passport to demonstrate we have achieved immunity, but we can still catch COVID, we can still spread COVID, still need to get tested, still need to wear masks, still need to quarantine ourselves. How can people be this blind and naive? I agree with you. This does not equal immunity. It does not equal safety. It doesn't equal anything. It equals injecting something that doesn't seem to be related at all to what we're dealing with. All of those things, these are the classic things that any vaccine previously would have stopped. Not today. Not with the new technocratic revolution happening. They're going to test on you because you are their cattle. That's what this is. Remember, all these things have been tested before on cattle or terrorists or any number of things. Tracking, tracing, this is the same concept. You are the point. As Whitney put it, your body is the new battlefield. As Nick Dixon writes, so Pierce Morgan says the unvaccinated shouldn't receive health care. Edwin Curry thinks they shouldn't be allowed out in public. And New Zealand's PM has had them move on from their jobs. Right? Remember when this was all fake news? That will never happen. They'll never make you wear a mask. People are crazy. Let me know when this goes too far for you, assuming I haven't already disappeared. Right. I can't even laugh at that anymore. Staggering. I know of somebody personally right now who is at risk, or at least concerned, the fact that they may be removed because their family thinks that they're unsound because they believe in facts and science and data, as opposed to what the narrative tells you the science is. I would actually tell you, but I don't know if the person wants me to, but it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. This is happening real world, and this is not some hypothetical threat. This is building right now in front of us. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just want us to understand this is really happening. But the positive is always to counterbalance that concern is that the only reason it's happening is because we are literally changing the world. People can see what's happening. We are watching this change in front of us, and we can't give up and stop because it'll quickly go back the way it was. So it's good and bad, right? Dark is before the dawn. It's always the same concept. Now, the vaccine, after everything we just talked about and all the real concerns and all the absolutely admitted blood clots and everything else we're talking about, I just had to reference this back from January 7th, 2021. And they even had to fact check it because they want you to think it's fake. The DC Council passed a law to allow minors over the age 11 to consent to vaccines. This is not a joke. Of course, the claim. Oh, son of a gun. Gosh darn it. I just did that on accident. I'm sure it doesn't matter. It was not that much. I only had a couple things highlighted. But the claim, Democrats passed legislation to vaccinate children without parental knowledge or consent. Scroll all the way down to find out their ruling. Well, just missed context. Okay, so it's real then. Based on our research, the claim that Democrats passed legislation to vaccinate children without parental knowledge or consent is missing context. Ooh, that's kind of scary. In reality, the DC Council passed legislation to allow minors age 11 or over, rather than their parents, to decide whether they want to receive governmental vaccine. Okay, so they literally just say, look, let me just read what their claim is. They passed legislation to allow children to be vaccinated without the consent. And their argument is, well, that's mixing context. Then they go on to say the reality is there's legislation passed that allows children to be vaccinated without the consent of their parents. This is really happening. This is the world we're living in, where a fact check article on USA Today can be like, well, it's not exactly correct, and then literally say exactly what they said the claim was as the truth, as if they countering that. So the reality is they allowed children to be vaccinated without their parents' consent. This is crazy. And they can't even say that. That means they know inherently this is wrong. So that's why they're hiding it under a 45-paragraph fact check where they come to the conclusion of, well, yes, that's exactly correct, by stating it's sort of not correct. It's incredible. Now think about how crazy it is that we're talking about children that don't have the right to go to the military or drive a car or smoke cigarettes because they've been considered not to have the capacity to make those decisions. But yet we're deciding in the midst of this weird psychological operation that children suddenly have the capacity to choose about experimental injections. Interesting how weirdly correlated that is with the transgender idea, right? Well, no, they can't drive a car or join the military, drink alcohol, but we'll let them change their entire body makeup when they don't even know what the repercussions are because it seems cool in the population today. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have that choice, but what I am saying is you should be old enough to understand what you're doing, just like we do for children that want to, when I was 6 years old, I wanted to be a superhero. right? It doesn't mean you acknowledge that and allow this person to grow to be 40 years old to keep trying to be a superhero or whatever the analogy would be, right? When you're a child, you don't understand things the same. You don't understand the repercussions. You don't really understand the world. So when we allow them to make these choices, all you're really doing is allowing them to listen to who is telling them what to do, right? Allow that child to either listen to their parents, but in this case, no. We don't want their parents because those parents might be vaccine hesitancy people. So we want to give them this one opportunity to listen to what we tell them to do, because nowhere in there is the child going, I'm going to make an informed consent decision about this injection and look at all the information. Obviously not. So again, the agenda is vaccine at all costs. You know, you can admit it to yourself, even if you think we're wrong and you're shaking your head. I know deep down that you know this is wrong. We all know this is wrong. And we all can see plainly that this is very manipulative and doesn't make any sense in conjunction with other things that we know we don't allow children to do, because guess what? They don't have the capacity until they're old. We've already gone through this, guys. This is a disturbing image of a woman being forcibly vaccinated. Now, whether or not she has the capacity to make this choice, I think this is what's happening, and it makes me very uncomfortable to recognize.
I'll be gentle.
Are you done? God, that makes me sick. Right. So they've all decided it's what should happen. So it doesn't matter. Right. Now, it doesn't matter what this is. The same example, whether this is the same concept of consent. Right. The idea and the end of the day is this is if the child can't make their choice, if the child can make their choice for them. Right. They've already decided, oh, if they're 11 years old or older, they can decide for themselves. OK, well, shouldn't she be able to decide for herself? What's the argument? Oh, well, she doesn't have the capacity. OK, well, I thought we said the same thing about children. So why does one make sense, not the other? It's because it doesn't matter as long as it errs on the side of getting the vaccination. How do we not see that? Why is there a police officer there? There's clearly forced vaccination happening here, and it's disgusting. Now, meanwhile, like this is while this is happening, they're like, I already showed you this, the April 7th, they're beginning studies to assess allergic reactions, right? So when they keep saying that the benefits outweigh the risks, recognize that they don't know the risk because they haven't done all the studies. If they're currently beginning a study to fully assess allergic reactions, and remember, allergic reactions can kill you, that means they don't fully understand those risks. So they cannot fully argue that they know the benefits outweigh the risks, but they know that. They know what their job is to tell you what they're supposed to tell you. But if they're currently studying this, that means that you are being tested on. Now, meanwhile, while all this is happening, while you're being forced in your home and not allowed to leave and your job has been destroyed and everything continues on based on what they're telling you you have to do, guess what all the elitists are doing? None of that. French elite caught violating lockdown rules by attending secret restaurants. Now, see, they even have their own. There is entire subcultures of rich, wealthy people right now going and living their lives normally, going to restaurants and doing their thing, and they're allowed to because they're wealthy and powerful. Which shows you that it's a class war. It always really has been. But here's the big article from The Guardian. Same thing. French authorities investigate clandestine dinner parties in Paris. Well, guess what? Those French authorities are some of the people doing it. So let's pretend like they're going to actually investigate and hold people accountable. No, they won't. We've already seen it. Some of the most vocal people on the planet about doing these things and lockdowns, Gavin Newsom and Boris Johnson and all of them, have all been caught violating their own rules. And we all pretend like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I wasn't thinking straight. Yeah, you were thinking straight. You just wanted to do what you wanted to do and you didn't care. But you made sure we had to do what we had to do. Norway Prime Minister fined for breaking own rules. Oh, here's a fine. Guess what happens if you break those rules? Well, you get quarantined. You get arrested. You go to jail. She'll get a little slap. I bet you shouldn't even pay that fine. COVID has everything. Tragedy, comedy, farce. Given half a chance, it will turn otherwise rational people into fearful, hypocritic fools. They're all doing this. That either means that they know it's not as severe, or they believe they have the choice to violate it and you don't. How many times do we need to see this before we realize what it shows us? On to the mask discussion. Now I'm going to try to fly past some of this here. Oh, I forgot I did that. Hold on. I'm going to try to fly past some of this because the interest of time, we're at 2:24. Try not to go to 3 hours. Try. Dang it. If you can see what I'm doing, you're probably laughing at me. I'm just trying to get the screen straight there. Now, going on to the vast discussion, here's a doctor saying, in which I make the case for normalization of masks when we're sick, when there are outbreaks of COVID, or even in flu season. Yeah, guess what, guys? Exactly what I told you was coming. Masks are here for good. This is the new normal. This is what they've always been. And why? Because the masks keep a level of fear. They keep you feeling like something's happening. And they also increase your risk of infection. They increase the things that keep you ill and under the weather, so they can keep pointing to you as there being an illness. As well as the fact that it's a boon for all the things they're currently investing in, the biosecurity state. This is, and as well as the fact that it diminishes our sense of self, it creates more sociopathy in society. These are all been studied long before we got here, which means they know these things. But here are the doctors telling you, let's do masks all the time. Flu season, left. That means if it's flu season, when there are outbreaks, when we're sick, it means we're wearing masks all the time, all the time. Now, in 10 years, when people have no teeth and their breath is terrible and they can't find the day, I mean, this is the point, is there all these people that are wearing them constantly are going to have horrendous continual side effects from this. And we're already seeing it now. And they're so afraid to admit it that they'll probably never acknowledge the fact that they're struggling terribly. Like that woman who is passing out while arguing for masks on children. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Here's the actual article. COVID masks save American lives. Well, they really don't, though. And all of the actual science shows you that. And I only say actual science because the things they're throwing into the mix are things like these observational studies, the ones that are done in a box in a lab, while we're talking about 14 random controlled peer-reviewed trials that all come to the same conclusion. No statistically significant reduction in transmission. The CDC pointed that out in May. We have all the other studies we've shown you. We have the only random controlled trial from the British Medical Journal in 2014, I believe. I've shown you this 1,000 times where it says very plainly, cloth masks shouldn't be used, even in healthcare workers in any case, because they increase your risk of infection. That was their finding, the only random controlled peer-reviewed trial. And here we are where she can just plainly say masks save lives, and that's not medical misinformation. They can still and should post-pandemic. That's the point. Your life forever going forward. Now, I believe I'm actually going to go through this. Of course, it's Bill Nye, you know, the non-scientist, because we can all trust when he can't blow or when he can blow out or can't blow out a match or I can't even talk, can't blow out a candle, which, by the way, is painfully stupid because he's intentionally using the N95s that very specifically doctors use versus the medical masks that you buy at Walgreens or the cloth mask, which like 95% of people are using, which you could talk and blow out that candle. You know, in any case, in any sense, none of them actually have statistically significant difference on transmission, even N95s. I've shown you all the studies, but because the non-scientist child star, whatever you want to call this weirdo, because he says so, well, of course it must be right. Anyway, I'm not going to wait. This article I could pick apart in 10 seconds, and I probably will for fun in one of the future shows, but let's get into what they say is the fake stuff. Right? Here's Ollie pointing out the fact check he got when he tried to post this article, this one, the one that I've already shown you. In January 2021, which they also get wrong, face masks in the COVID-19 era, which comes to the conclusion, which I've shown you, which is exactly what we've been talking about. The existing scientific evidences challenge the safety and efficacy of wearing face masks as preventative intervention of COVID-19. The data suggests that both medical and non-medical face masks are ineffective to block human-to-human transmission of viral and infectious disease such as SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19, supporting against the usage of face masks. Wearing face masks has been demonstrated to have substantial adverse physiological and psychological effects. These include hypoxia, hypercapnia, which is either low blood oxygen level or high level of carbon dioxide in your blood, shortness of breath, increased acidity and toxicity, activation of fear and stress response, rise in stress hormones, immunosuppression, fatigue, headaches, decline in cognitive performance, predisposition for viral and infectious illness, chronic stress, anxiety, depression, on and on and on. Now, we've talked about all this, guys. We've proven this over and over and over. There's so many studies. And here is what they have to say. The point was, this is Stanford, right? So we're not confused on that. That was one of the points I was going to make. We'll come back around to it. So here's what he posts that study and gets this fact check article. Well, let's take a look at what that article has to say. Well, first of all, it's on the Quint, which I don't even know what that is. Oh, Bloomberg, apparently. Misleading anti-mask study claims they don't prevent COVID-19. Okay, let's see what they have to say. Twitter removed this. It's this person right here. And we'll, by the way, just show you that right now. As Dr. Naomi Wolf points out, Twitter censored a distinguished lawyer for reposting the same Stanford study about mask ineffectiveness that I was unable to post today due to censorship on Twitter as well. Now, what I think is funny, I haven't seen anybody talk about this study until I did a big show about it. And now suddenly it's all over the place. And now everyone's pointing out the same thing that it won't post. That's why I posted down here that I want her to come on my show so we can talk about this. But I just think it's interesting how these things seem to be completely lost and then it gets out there somehow, but nobody seems to know. It's just weird the way that the media flow is happening today, even the independent media. But he's a distinguished individual. Twitter removed his post on Sunday as it did not meet its community standards and COVID-19 guidelines. Science, peer-reviewed science, doesn't meet their guidelines because it finds something they don't like. So now Twitter is the arbiter of scientific truth. Right? Because they have decided what they already agreed upon is the fact based on what the authorities told them, which, by the way, is not how science works. Science just doesn't get decided and then you don't move forward. Right? If that was the case, the earth would be flat and all these different things. It's all these different things, right? The point is that every single time something happens, new information comes to light, you evolve your opinion if that's needed. Or you consider it to be wrong. The point is you evaluate. You don't just make a choice and dig in. That is dogma. That's a cult. That is not science. However, we found the paper was a hypothesis by one doctor and had not been peer reviewed, nor was backed with scientific proof. Make sure you hear what that's saying. They're claiming it was just one hypothesis by one doctor, which, by the way, he's not. Or excuse me, I'm thinking of the other guy, but in any case, and had not been peer-reviewed, nor was backed by scientific proof. Okay, let's deal with that first. First of all, this is a document. Well, first of all, this is the same document, face masks in the COVID-19 era, a health hypothesis. Same individual, same Stanford Post. Okay, published on PMC, U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health. Okay, here is what this site posts about the disclaimer content. PMC is a repository of content primarily from two sources, peer-reviewed journals that overall have met the standards and peer-reviewed author manuscripts deposited in compliance with the public access policy of NIH or other collaborating funders. Okay, so not only they're incorrect on this point, but also recognize when they make the point that this is not, was none, nor was it backed with scientific proof. Well, here is all of the not backed by scientific proof that you can stomach. That's not scientific proof. That's not science. That's not science. That's not backed by any science at all, right? Nothing. In fact, it's not backed by 67 sources at all. This is crazy that this is even a real place that's trying to argue that they know. This is literal medical misinformation. Now it says, in fact, several sources cited the paper too, talked about the effectiveness of masks in preventing COVID-19 transmission. Okay, so let me demonstrate why this writer doesn't even understand English, because what we're saying here is we found the paper was incorrect, they're saying, hadn't been peer-reviewed or backed by proof. Then they go on to say, in fact, which by the way, dang it, I keep doing that today. Oh, I don't think I even had much highlighted on this below that point. But what I want you to understand is what they're saying is when they say it hasn't been backed by proof, then go on to say, in fact, that is stemming off the same point. So you're saying it hasn't been backed by proof. In fact, here's examples of why it's not backed up by proof. But no, they go on to say, in fact, people have cited it and talked about masks. So that doesn't make sense. Either they deleted a paragraph there, who knows? But it's embarrassing that this is what is fact-checking scientific they are fact-checking that this scientific study is legitimate from Stanford. Can you believe that? And what they go on to say is, moreover, so again, stemming from the same point, health organizations around the world and several public health experts have repeatedly advised using masks to further control the spread of virus. Okay, what does that have any bearing on whether that was scientifically backed up? You see, that is that's fake. And what they're trying to make it sound like is what they're coming up with next validates the previous thing they said. It doesn't. It has no comparison whatsoever. Then it goes on to say the claim. This is not the first time that he tweeted against masking. Okay, so now we've shifted over into the lawyer. So now we've shifted from debunking what they claim they're debunking, which is this scientific study, to then go after him personally and suggest that because this guy is not sound, that means this study isn't, that is a straw man. That is an ignorant argument. But let's watch it. This is not the first time he's tweeted against masking, which shouldn't have any bearing on whether the science is correct. The need for lockdowns and vaccines. Ah, so now we're going to get into vaccine stuff so they can tie into the vaccine hesitancy anti-vaxxer thing. In a previous tweet, he claimed that vaccines were hardly effective on the new strain of COVID-19. Several such anti-masking and anti-vaccination posts can be seen. Okay, what does any of that have to do? So he's an anti-masker, anti-vaxxer. What a bad person. So that science is fake then. This is their point, and that's ridiculous. And a big showy X through the post, right? This is just flagrant, showy, nonsensical propaganda. It says such posts can be found here and here. And one of these posts they're making the point to make somehow claim this was spread has not a single like or share. And the reason they point out to those is because what they're saying is hyperbolic and not the facts. You see, if they link to one of our posts about this, they'd very clearly see that it makes it look much more valid than they want it to be. That's why they seek out and find the weird ones that aren't being shared and act like that's the one driving the conversation. Their job is to create straw man arguments. What we found out, they said it's not data-based research. Okay, yet again, how is this not data-based? You realize this is all random controlled trials, meta-analysis from the CDC, British Medical Journal, Oxford. These are all real compilation studies or mask studies about this is what we are talking about. And they're literally saying it is not a data-based research or a detailed study. This is about as detailed as it gets. This is the hypothesis was shared by many as a study and was first published in November 2020, support the anti-masking narrative. Wrong again. Well, here's the point. This was online and accepted as of November 19th. This was published January 2021, which, by the way, is the same thing it says on this publication. As you can see, it says right here, 2021, January, but it was online November 2020, right? So the point is, this is why I don't think I even saw this until 2021. Anyway, the reality of what they're saying there is it was shared by many as a study. It is a study. It's what's called a meta-analysis, which is what CDC has done and called it a study meta-analysis. But you see, it doesn't make any sense. You'll never make sense of these arguments. It is a one-sided, completely irrelevant argument meant to make you think that this is valid. It says this claim was previously debunked before. Oh, okay, well then, right. This is what by some doctor that breathed through something on YouTube a long time ago that wasn't backed up by science whatsoever. Yeah. But that wasn't debunked. The science is what matters. Now here, by the way, is their previous debunk. Do masks cause CO2 toxicity in your body? Right. And they go on to do the same nonsense from another Bloomberg spinoff. Seems like there's some kind of coordination happening here, wouldn't you say? Well, all they go on to do is point to these ridiculous claims of these ridiculous arguments instead of actual random controlled science, the actual articles, the data, which I keep showing you. I mean, how many times have I brought these up? How many times have I shown you the actual science, the studies? This is one of the main ones from May 2020, where the CDC finds very clearly This is specifically 10 of them. There was 14 before, 10 random controlled. I mean, you can see, I'll just show you right here. They're talking about 14 random controlled trials, but under specifically masks, 10 random controlled trials that report estimates of effectiveness of face masks during, in reducing laboratory confirmed influenza virus infections, which, yes, applies to COVID-19. That was the, one of the most ignorant claims that people who didn't understand this stuff continued. Oh, well, it was about flu. It wasn't COVID-19. They're respiratory viruses. And that's why they discuss influenza-like illness. That applies to other respiratory illnesses. That's why they do these studies. In pooled analysis, we found no significant reduction in transmission with the use of face masks. It goes on to do a lot of them. A study evaluated masks among pilgrims in real-world scenarios. Two studies in the university settings addressed effectiveness of face masks for primary protection. I mean, the overall reduction of the issue was not significant in either study. Studies designed in seven household studies. Right, this was complete. One study provided the face masks, respirators, on and on and on. Another study provided this, and they did everything they could. None of the household studies reported a significant reduction in laboratory-confirmed influenza. Then it goes on to make it very, very clear. It says, there is limited evidence for their effectiveness in preventing influenza, either when worn by infected persons for source control or when worn by uninfected persons for reduced exposure. This covers all of it, guys. This is what they found. This was the conclusion from the CDC. It was not statistically significant in reducing transmission. And then they didn't like that. People, they got pushed back. So they just jammed through another observational study and said, that's the one that matters. I keep asking this. If we came out, like, look, if they had 14 random controlled trials, if they had five random controlled trials that all can simultaneously, or not simultaneously, if all found that there was no significant, if there, look, I take that, I'm confusing the issue. If there were five trials that all found that masks stopped COVID-19, right? It found exactly what they wanted them to find. And then a new observational model came out today that found that masks didn't work. Are you telling me the CDC would just go, oh, well, that's the one, the new one that's not random controlled trial, that's in another in a lab, that's an observational, that's the one we're going to go with? Obviously not. They would go with the random controlled trials. So ask yourself now why they're choosing to go with the observational lab study over the 14 random controlled trials, because there's more happening here. This is painfully clear. If you have two brain cells to rub together, you are able to recognize contradictions here. So this is what we're supposed to listen to. We're supposed to listen to Bloomberg offshoots of weird websites that actually make valid, invalid arguments and pretend that some of the most wildly sourced documentation and articles are not actually backed up by information and just one person's opinion. That's their argument. This is one doctor's opinion about one thing and it's completely irrelevant. No, this is a meta-analysis conducted by an expert from Stanford of all of the information. And you guys dismissed it as fake news because you are actually fake news. Here's what a diagnostic pathologist had said when speaking with talk radio. Quote, I've been censored and it's really, really wrong. That's not science. It's dogma.
How concerned are you about the censorship of divergent scientific voices? I know that recently you expressed alarm at a professor who'd done a study into the potential harms of face coverings who I think was taken off Twitter. No, it wasn't. That was a proper platform. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so he academics use a platform called ResearchGate where you can put all of...
They're talking about Denis Brancourt, who I just interviewed. He was removed from ResearchGate, censored, right? We talked about that earlier.
Your publications, your academic publications, and people have a sort of academic profile on there. And it's, you know, part of your CV almost as an academic. And he was removed from that. For a paper that had been read an awful lot, actually, because it was a really good, thorough scientific analysis of the mask evidence. And we've seen it, across the board, not just with particular aspects of it, but people talking about ivermectin as a treatment.
Right. And the point is that this is scientific data from across the board from multiple locations, whether you're talking about ivermectin or masks, right? This is a sound, broad overview of years of research. And they're acting like that is conspiracy theory. I mean, they're turning real science into conspiracy theory and then turning science into dogma and statements from authority. The medical elitists, that's what this is becoming, which is crazy. So is Dr. Claire Craig now a conspiracy theorist, anti-science, crazy person? I mean, they're citing scientific documentation.
Being censored. People talking about lockdowns not working have been censored. Seen it, and we've seen it across the board, not just with particular aspects of it, but people talking about ivermectin as a treatment have been censored. People talking about lockdowns not working have been censored. I've been censored a bit. It is really, really wrong. And that's not how science progresses. That's not science. That is dogma. That is a cult. It is a religion. It is a cult when you cannot speak against it.
Right. And if you are part of that cult, you right now, you feel like you're winning, right? You feel like you are part of the good guy team. Or maybe you don't care and you're doing it because it gives you some kind of benefit. In any case, right, we have a lot of people like this, well-spoken experts who have the right to speak on these things that are speaking across this and saying, you guys are crazy. This is really wrong. And they just ignore it and act like it's just a bunch of fringe weirdos. They've been doing that from the very beginning, right? This is not just Buttar and Mikovits anymore. This is a huge, massive worldwide movement. And we need to give credit to people like Buttar and Mikovits who came out early and took the hardest hit from this stuff because they were fighting for you, whether or not you think they're right about everything they're saying. And here we are, where you see this massive division and they are just continuing to drive it forward as a bunch of fringe anti-science weirdos. How can decades of science be anti-science fringe weirdos?
You cannot question it.
Indeed so. And when you're vilified for daring to question it, which of course has happened to myself and all of my colleagues, I would suggest, at Talk Radio. In particular, Claire, in what ways, I mean, you know, you don't have to name names, but how have you been censored, would you say, in the last few months?
Oh, I've not had anything major, but I've had, you know, things called sensitive on Twitter that aren't. And I've had videos removed, but I mean, nothing.
Meaning that she posts science on Twitter? And because it doesn't go along with the narrative, they claim it sensitive, which makes people think that it's fake.
Nothing terrible. And actually, Twitter has allowed me to speak in a way that I wouldn't have otherwise had a platform at all. But you know, it is not working out quite the way we would hope it would.
Have you had any pushback from former colleagues or friends in the scientific world?
No, actually, I haven't.
That's good, because we spoke to Professor Sunetra Gupta on this show a few months ago, one of the most respected epidemiologists in the world, and she's lost friends, she's been vilified by former colleagues and demonized for daring to take a different view.
One of the most respected people in the field, in the world. How is this possible that we're this easy to manipulate, to some of us anyway? I'm still convinced that it's not even close to the majority, that's my opinion, but at the same time, there's enough of us that are just so willing to just bow to the authority and just take whatever you're given. And it's just, that is crazy to me. And credit for Talk Radio has been doing a hell of a job keeping up on this, even as they're attacked. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I was thinking we already mentioned this, but here's the point. But I've mentioned this more than once so far on Twitter and other shows. But for those that don't know, this is who I just interviewed, Denny Rancourt, for scientifically chronicling the harms of masks. He has been censored by ResearchGate, by a publication that is supposed to allow scientists to post publicly. This is real, objective, sound scientific research. I highly recommend you research, look into it for yourself. The research is obviously sound. And again, the point is he's going back and he's going over past science and compiling it and adding new current information. And they just don't like the finding. I mean, again, if we're talking about Stanford University that just came out and made the same claims and they just won't even let it be posted. What's the likelihood that an individual in Stanford citing 65 different articles and studies to back up what he's saying, along with Denny Rancourt, who does exactly the same thing, along with all sorts of other leading experts around the world, are all just completely crazy and wrong? Certainly possible. But what's more likely? This is the thing you should tell somebody when you know, what's more likely, that everyone in the world is wrong and you're right, or you're wrong and everyone else in the world is right, right? All are possible. But right now, I think we need to recognize that all they're doing is censoring based on the narrative. The science is what's being censored right now. Here's the actual page, so I don't forget to include it for you. Great interview. I highly recommend you check it out. And as I pointed out here, this is despite the 2021 Stanford study that I just discussed. finding that masks are ineffective and dangerous to our health? At what point do we acknowledge that what they're in fact telling us to do is ignore the science while telling us to trust the narrative? And I pointed out that Twitter wouldn't let me post this link. Simply wouldn't. Can't be sent because the link has been identified by Twitter as our partners as being potentially harmful. That's this study. That's Science Direct from Stanford. And Twitter is saying, nope, can't do it. That's dangerous. Think about how crazy that is. And this point is important. And this is what somebody adds, which I think is very relevant. Is anyone surprised by this? Here's ResearchGate. Guess what? Lead investors, Bill Gates, number one. Shocker, right? I guess we're all just crazy conspiracy theorists, you know? That's what they'll say, regardless of how obvious it seems to be this tying line between everything that's happening right now. There's James Lyons-Weiler, also being censored. It seems, as he says, Twitter is suppressing hashtag pathogenic priming. Exactly what's happening. Peer-reviewed scientific research and experimental data support it as a reality. See other studies citing his research, and I highly recommend you do. Tag him in all COVID-19 autoimmunity posts, please. I should probably get James back on the show. We can follow up on this. I mean, this is... It's crazy. These are PhDs and scientists that are being censored for science. Like, so think about how dumb it is for them to say, trust the science and then censor science. That means they don't want you to trust science. They want you to trust what they want you to trust, right? So it's not science. It's only some of the science, which is only the ones that they pick. So it's not actually objective. It's not actually anything other than authority telling you how to think. Oh, that's right. God darn it. Well, I was going to show you how Alex Bernenson apparently got censored by Amazon, but he blocked me for some crazy reason because I disagree with him on cannabis. So sorry, Alex, I was going to have your back there, but I forgot about this. I had this included because it was pretty crazy. I forget the full thing because it's not there now, but Amazon apparently censored his book or something and they inserted things into his page inside the book, I guess. I don't know. I can't even follow up because he censored me, which is really stupid, but wasn't even going to get into that, but this is happening to everybody. He's being censored on Amazon. It's being censored everywhere. I wanted to have your back, dude. I wanted to have your back. But so going forward, here's another censorship example. The official thoughts of COVID-19, this compilation page where it had this compilation of people answering seven basic questions about COVID-19, showing you the real opinion. That's gone. I mean, I just could. Let me refresh it. Maybe it came back. Nope. Requests to the server have been blocked by an extension. So they set up an entire website to have this worldwide, you know, being able to answer yes or no, to find the real kind of tap into what people are actually thinking, not what the mainstream is telling you they're thinking. And I wish I would have taken archives and pictures of this because it was very clear. It was really interesting. And of course, showed you what we were talking about. But of course, they're hindered by whatever extension decided to make their own politics more important than having your extension work for people who buy it or use it, right? Politics, this is like the same thing, Gillette using a commercial about masculinity or, you know, anti-masculinity. These are people that are choosing to put politics ahead of their own profit model, their own business. In any sense, why would they censor this? This isn't leaning one way or the other. It's just saying questions that give you the uncensored opinion. Well, apparently, the uncensored opinion, they didn't like. So they censored it. What does that show you? That the opinion of people, when unfettered and uncensored, is what we are talking about. Realize the majority showing itself to you guys, and they're aggressively trying to hide it from you. I hope this comes back up. I hope they find a new extension, but I would worry they lost all the data they had. This is what's happening everywhere. Toby Young pointing out from Lockdown Skeptics, a court... Germany. A Weimar court. So a court in Germany has prohibited these schools from imposing mask wearing and social distancing and rapid testing, saying that these measures are not only unhelpful, but are extremely harmful to human coexistence, right? That whole court must be anti-science fringe conspiracy theorists though, right? Because that's the only thing that makes sense, right? How dumb this is, like how ignorant this argument is, they continue to perpetuate that if you think this, you're crazy. Clearly not. There are obviously facts that back up this argument, and they just don't want to hear it. That's the science they're censoring, right? That's the consensus they're censoring. They don't want you to see that we know that they're wrong. This entire court in Germany agrees with what we're saying, but we're continuing to be censored. Here is a horrible example of how this is continuing despite the evidence. This is a baby who's, they're being for sure forcing her to wear a mask or get off the flight.
Hi, good morning, ma'am. I understand your daughter doesn't have a face mask on.
She's nursing. She's going to nurse the whole flight. And I can just, like, get away from everybody.
No.
Nobody here has a problem with
it. No, it's not about that. It's just...
I can't do it. It's going to suffocate her. And I care more about her health.
It's going to suffocate her. I can't do it. I care more about her health, which apparently doesn't matter. We don't care that your baby might die. Do what you're told.
Okay, so it is a federal right.
She says it's a federal law, which is not, by the way. That's absolutely incorrect, and she should lose her job.
Now, it's not a law. It is.
Okay, but I can't follow it because she's going to die.
See, suffocate. Now here's the problem is now she probably would have kept going anyway, but to then concede that point, you need to understand your rights, people. There's no law that says you have to wear a face mask. That's not true.
Okay, so unfortunately, if she cannot wear a mask,
I already paid for the flight.
We're about to leave.
Why don't we just go? What's the big deal? I really don't understand this. I'm recording this right now.
Yes,
because it's wrong.
No, her baby
it's
is
not wrong.
Her baby is breastfeeding, and they're trying to force her to wear a mask.
It's not about her nursing.
It's wrong.
What's going on?
It's just about her. No, I know that it's not about her nursing. Right. Because you want me to put a mask on her. It's.
Good morning, ma'am.
God, this makes me infuriated. Right? Like, this is mindless compliance. This is a child that is not at risk from COVID-19. 0%, according to Canada and the CDC in the United States. Zero. Asymptomatic transmission has been shown to be literally almost non-existent. 300 cases out of 10 million, according to multiple studies. But we're going to force this child to wear a face mask because why? Are you worried they're going to spread this thing? Well, they're not at risk and they won't spread it. There's no asymptomatic transmission. Okay. Or what are you worried about? Right. The mask is what's going to create any kind of issue for this baby. So are you more concerned about your fear and paranoia, so you want to mask little children that aren't at risk? You're a coward. Like, and this is disgusting to me. These people need to be held accountable, and hopefully they will be. This person simply says, we've lost our ever-loving minds. This is everywhere, guys. I don't think it's the majority, but there are a lot of people who are.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot. There's people talking in the background. Wow. Like, what do you think is happening? Right? Like, you put your fork on the table. Right. Then you pick your fork up, which was just on the table, put it in your mouth. You get food. Your hands are touching a napkin that was just on the table, which your hand just touched your mask and the napkin just touched your face. Like, this is just dumb. Like, how do you not realize that is on top of that, that the illusion is that thing is actually putting you at more risk as the science shows us? I mean, it's just, and these people are completely brainwashed to the point to where they will leave this mask on all day, every day. And she, I guarantee, is having issues from that thing. I promise you. I promise you she's already having bad breath. I promise you she's already having inflamed gums. This is almost constant. Talk to any dentist right now, any dentist, and they will tell you this, that they are overwhelmed with cavities and teeth falling out. The problem is that your saliva is what a huge part of helping you fight cavities and issues with your teeth. The mask is one of the biggest issues. It dries out your mouth, which then causes that bacteria to collate in your mask and your mouth, and then you breathe it back in because you have no saliva. So you're increasing your risk of cavities, of periodontal disease, of bacterial pneumonia, which is contagious, which can then be spread to other people, which can also be looked at as COVID-19 because they're combining pneumonia with COVID-19. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and this stuff is very, very easy to prove. I've done it 100 times over, and the science continues to back me up. And to finish the mask part off, Here's Denis Rancourt pointing out, here he is in Ottawa, capital of Canada, mother of God. Ottawa's mandatory mask by law extended to in August. Now, here's the point, guys. Did people vote on this, right? Was the population of the country involved? No, this is a emergency stated mandate, right? They're inserting emergency laws based on the idea that we're in some kind of dangerous situation. These are not the same thing. And by the way, you cannot force people to wear a mask. I don't care whether they do the law or not, or whether they do a mandate or not. The point is that it's against your, this is a human rights violation. We're talking about international law. You cannot force me to wear any kind of non-pharmaceutical medical intervention. That is what a mask is considered by law. But this is what's happening. It's time for us to stand up for our rights. Put your foot down. Do not move. I will not comply. I will not consent. Now, of course, we're just at 3 hours. I've clearly missed my mark here, but I want to finish with this, and I'm just going to try to rattle through this. I won't dig into these articles, but I want you to understand that the PCR test itself is such a huge linchpin to this entire illusion. This is one of the most important parts to this, because we know as a matter of fact that this test is not suitable. It is not designed for this. It's just not. And this is being continually found in courts of law, which is what we're talking about here. Following Portuguese, German, and Dutch rulings, now Austrian courts as well have ruled that PCR tests are not suitable for COVID-19 diagnosis and that lockdowns has no legal or scientific basis. It contains a list of worldwide action against the scandemic, as they wrote. Now, this is important to understand that there are multiple countries. Their entire agencies, their entire ruling bodies are deciding that this PCR test that is right now guiding the direction of our country is not only wrong. This is simply, it's wrong kind of encapsulates everything. That's why I pause right there. But at the end of the day, it's not working for what they're trying to use it for, and it's creating a huge level of false positives. Now, you could argue it's causing false negatives, which that's possible as well. But you have to understand that the way this works, and this is the misunderstanding, is the higher you go on the cycle threshold, the higher you increase the risk of false positives, not the other way around. It's not both of them there. You can go further down and increase the risk of false negatives. But you see, this is the illusion being perpetuated by the media that either doesn't understand what I'm talking about or is lying to you. Because you increase when you get between 35 and 45 cycle threshold, the increase of false positives is exponential, upwards of 95% after 40, according to Dr. Scoglio, PhD, and plenty of others that have proven this live on TV. But it continues because the media doesn't care. I recommend you look into this because this is happening all around the world. Here's another example. Now, this one is not translated, but this is for some reason this wasn't working when I was trying to translate it. That's weird. But it was working on the Chrome page, but I didn't want to bring it up. But in any sense, I'm not going to read it right now. I recommend you dive into it, but this is what it's about. PCR test is meaningless. The Vienna Administrative Court lifts the ban on meetings and considers PCR tests to be meaningless. Actual illness can only be determined by a doctor. Infection was not detected solely on the basis of PCR test or an antigen test. Done. Multiple countries. But it continues. I mean, look, even this guy's going, this is stupid. This judge is a fool and definitely not making rulings based on facts. Right. Nate DeNiro. Right. Except because he thinks he knows everything because he read this one tweet. But he apparently doesn't understand that Portuguese, German, Dutch, Austrian, they've all done the same thing. Right. So are they all a bunch of fringe anti-science weirdos that are making decisions based on not information? Or are you wrong and you think you know what you're talking about? See, I can consider both sides. People that are like that refuse to. But here's the reality that everyone who has consented and complied without question has contributed to the creation of this concept. Tests to be offered twice weekly to all England people. An idea is these tests will then be used in conjunction with the restrictions. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Tests to be offered twice weekly. As this person points out, well, someone's clearly getting rich. Two tests a week, 52 weeks, right? You find out 67 million residents, £25 a test will cost the UK £175,786,000,000. Think about that. Think about how much money is being made off of forcing you to continue to get tested for something that you don't need to get tested for. It also keeps the illusion going, the math, the testing. You think you're in a problem, right? Well, Oh, that's right. There are a couple of points. Before I say finish up, the Telegraph, on the end of that point, quarter of COVID deaths not caused by virus, new figures show. What do you know? Just like the other part, though, this is an undersell, right? They know they're losing control of the narrative, so they're trying to get ahead of it by selling you something that they can sell, and they see you are sort of right, but it's still dangerous, though, right? Blood clots are bad, but they're not that bad, so keep taking it. Same point, right? Here they're going, yeah, well, this is our point while we're saying, look, the vast majority of these people, 96%, in fact, died from something other than COVID-19. They died with it. Or at least that's what the PCR false positive told them. So they come out and go, well, 23%, we'll admit to that. How much you want to bet? I guarantee you it's more than that. We know it's more than that, right? The CDC admitted to only 6% of people having only COVID-19, right? Well, this is obviously in the UK, but in any sense, I think this is about selling you something that's less than the reality. So you continue to be kind of afraid, and then they kind of admit it, and they try to go forward with that lie. 23%, but at the end of the day, what they're admitting to you is something that we were called fake news for even uttering, that anybody was like, this is fake news that's even happening. 23% of recent deaths are people dying with the disease rather than from it. Now, even if you believe that at face value, wouldn't you argue that it could possibly be more than that if we already are discovering that they were being liberal with the information? Well, yes, obviously. So why are we trusting them with anything? Why are we trusting them at all if we know that they've already been this dishonest so far? Don't let them give you an inch when they should be giving you a mile, you know, whatever. They are just giving you a little bit so they can keep going with the narrative. It's all a big illusion, guys. And to finish off a couple points here that I just wanted to include at the end, this one having to do with finances that really just blows my mind. New York to offer one-time payments of up to $15,000 to illegal immigrants who lost work during the pandemic. So Americans lose their jobs and businesses they work to build and barely get a couple thousand dollars, maybe once if you got it at all, right? Then they come in and go, well, we're going to give $15,000, which is depends on how much it says up to, right? So we could just say eight times as much of what we got, depending on where you got in that one as well, to an illegal immigrant. Now, look, I have a problem with this entire discussion and how it's framed, that these people with lives and ambitions and you know, things they're trying to accomplish and people they care about are just being labeled as illegal immigrant. I have an issue with the concept of all of this and the idea of the fact that we are not allowed to come over here because we're not from there and they're not, you know, it's just this whole, this is government and authoritative constructs. The idea that we're free humans and not allowed to freely move about the world is a problem for me. But you see, these are things that go so far outside the two-party spectrum that people just lose you. In any case, I'm not arguing that these people are lesser than and shouldn't be given things. My point is that in the situation it currently stands, if it's illegal and they're currently breaking the law, at the very least, why are they getting eight times what Americans were given? This doesn't even make sense. Should individuals anywhere suffering right now because of government action be compensated for that? Well, yes, because the government destroyed all of these things, including their jobs, even if they had them illegally. But the point at the end of the day is that it seems this is meant to insult people who are here currently fighting this, and your tax dollars are paying for that. It just makes me so frustrated that this is happening and all of this money is flying out of your pockets and going to big business. And even then they give eight times the money they give you to somebody who's illegally working in this country, whether or not you agree with that law, which was my point. Going forward, Australia's international borders might not open even if the whole country is vaccinated. Let me say that again. They won't open even if the whole country is vaccinated. Okay, as I said, what more do we need to see, guys? Let me ask it again. If you knew this was never going to end, would you still be going along with it? I'm looking at you, Australia. You're not getting out of there, apparently, no matter what happens. So I will not comply. I will not consent. WHO says lockdowns kill, but apparently that doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter that the WHO is telling us these things are dangerous. We're supposed to only trust WHO guidelines when they want us to.
I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus.
Well, that, of course, goes on to point out that they have one primary use, which is making poor people an awful lot poorer, which seems to be what they're trying to accomplish, apparently. But in any case, why are we still doing lockdowns if the WHO is telling us they're not what we should be doing? I thought we weren't supposed to challenge WHO guidelines. You see, none of it makes sense because it's all a big game they're playing against you. And of course, what they want you to think is that COVID's making you crazy. But nope, it's the government making you crazy. COVID-19 patients likely to get brain disease within 6 months of contracting the virus. Study. Study says. Well, guess what? It doesn't really say that at all. 1 in 3 COVID-19 survivors. I mean, it's funny that you call it a survivor when the 99.7, it's just like, they're not survivor. The vast majority survives. You don't use that term unless you're like, you know, 5% survive, and then you're the survivors, right? They're constantly trying to make this out to be more serious than it is. Anyway, the COVID-19 survivors were diagnosed with a brain or psychiatric disorder within 6 months of contracting the virus. Ooh, that sounds bad. A study has found. The study hinted that a large group of people are in line to suffer from mental or neurological problems in the near future. Wow. Sounds like it's serious. Well, let's keep going. The study was conducted on more than 2,300 American patients. Researchers who headed the study could not find a link on how the virus leads to psychiatric conditions, such as all the things we're talking about. Okay, so we haven't found a link that even proves this is the case, but we're going to go ahead and make that the case and say that because of the correlation. But when we find a correlation, even though it's through the roof about vaccines administered and deaths and side effects and miscarriages and anaphylactic shock, well, we'll pretend like that doesn't mean the same thing. You see, we'll connect these things because we want you to think that you're going crazy, not because of your lockdown and your government destroying your life, but because of this nebulous thing that we can't really see. And maybe you had it, but maybe you didn't, but you don't know. But it might kill you because it's that serious, even though you don't know if you had it, right? Just who cares? Just accept it. Accept the contradictions. Accept the obscene. I mean, the fact that they could say that. We can't find a link. But the title reads exactly what we want you to read. The study itself starts by saying we found, the study hints at this large group. What they're telling you is that this, everyone's got COVID might be getting sick in the future. Then they base that on not having any link. So it's a correlation, which means those things, in my opinion, are being caused by the lockdown. We're talking about psychiatric disorders, anxiety, exactly what has been proven, depression, to be caused by the lockdown. And all we can do is go, well, COVID's here, so it must be COVID. This is exactly the idiocy that we're there. I mean, look at what it says down here, too. This is crazy. Right here. I was just reading that right there real quick. But this is the point. The study revealed that 17% of patients suffered from anxiety. Now, see, you see the page refresh right there? God. When you see that happen, recognize the reason that's happening is likely because they're editing and altering things and just keeping it updated, whether or not you have it up on your page. Now, it says, the study revealed that 17% of patients, 17, wow, how about this, 14% suffered from mood disorders, and a whopping 7% had a stroke within 6 months. Well, 2% had dementia. Those are what they're associating. They're saying, well, 2% of people who had COVID had dementia. So COVID's causing dementia. See, you see how that works? But there's a far higher prevalence in the general population than 2% of dementia. So how can we don't go, well, that's way lower than normal population, so it's not COVID. Except when we have the vaccine thing and they get a stroke and they go, well, there's already this many strokes generally every day, so it's probably not the vaccine. You see how that works? How they choose to lean one way or the other? 2%? Are you kidding me? 14%? 17%? 7%? How are you even pretending to find a correlation here? You see what the findings are showing you, right? That the vast majority of people with COVID didn't have anything happen like this. So the immediate thing to think is it's probably not COVID. But you would see they don't care. If you make any study or any article that leans into the narrative, you're going to get promoted and patted on the head and given a cookie. And then you'll get more money to study things they want you to find. Crazy. I mean, it's just painfully, painfully crazy. Now, this is where it's all leading, though. Whether it becomes a new pandemic or climate change, they're going to use this same scenario to control your lives. Here's CNN telling you quite clearly, quote, the pandemic has given us a trial run. Yeah, I thought it was the worst pandemic in a century, but it was just a trial run. Yeah, just a quick little in and out thing just to get us going forward, right? Funny how the narrative shifts on a dime the moment they want you to think about something else. Experts say the COVID pandemic has taught hard lessons that countries can use to tackle another major crisis, climate change. Okay, so the alleged pandemic has taught us lessons. What are those lessons? Right? What they're actually arguing is that the lockdown could reduce emissions, even though the lockdown in other ways caused even more, or the masks and the gloves have caused even more pollution and more damage to our. We've already shown you this. But you see, all they don't care about the facts. They care about leading you to believe that the lockdown is justified for fill in the blank. Because what they're actually doing is rolling in their new world order. That's what this is. This is the greater reset, the great reset. Don't forget about the greater reset with Derek and myself and everybody else talking, but the great reset. This is just about justifying the reimagining of everything in your life for the interest of them, not you. Whether it's COVID-19 or the next pandemic or climate change or another terrorist attack or white supremacy or whatever they want to use, it's going to be justified by the same tactics, just like they always do. I hope you're able to see that. But if not, I'll be back tomorrow to just keep jamming this stuff in. And hopefully people will finally wake up to how obvious this is. I just, you know, every day I just can't get past it because it's so crazy. You know, you keep that whether it's the masks, the lockdowns, the foreknowledge, the tech behind all of this or the great reset or build back better. These things are so plainly clear. And the mass discussion is unraveling right in front of us. The discussion about all this stuff is real time, or the vaccine point. You know, we were just completely vindicated despite the mainstream ever being willing to point that out. I just hope you're building the tools to be able to reach the people around you that don't want to sit through a 3-hour show to piece through all the information, right? I mean, that's the hard part. But this is important. It's important. So thank you for being here. Thank you for recognizing this is important and continuing to fight for this, because it's not over, guys. Got to stay the course. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
I heard earlier that there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle. And nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection, and where it goes when it gets into the body, and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist in the brain for years and decades. And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're giving. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. But we do know that vaccines are supposed to cause inflammation in the body. But we have more than half of our children with chronic inflamed conditions, and we've never allowed ourselves to ask the question, if the vaccines cause inflammation acutely, do they continue to create inflammation chronically? We have 1 in 5 with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 10 with ADD and ADHD, 1 in 35 with autism, 1 in 11 with asthma, and 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities,
the El Paso, Las Cruces communities,
Eastern Iowa communities,
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troublemaking and irresponsible one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.